for listening to the Gut Munchers Internet Podcast.
Welcome to episode 5 of the Gut Munchers Podcast. I'm your host, John. With me this month for this episode is Ed. How's it going, Ed?
It's going. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. So this episode is going to be a little bit different from what we've done in the past. And, of course, I seem to say that every show, but this one actually is a way different show. There's no movie reviews per se. We're kind of reviewing a convention, actually, and this is the Cinema Wasteland Recap. Mm-hmm. There'll be a couple of different things. Ed and I are going to be talking right now about the show and what we did that weekend. I also have some live audio that we recorded from the convention that'll be interspersed in. And we're going to break it down by day. Sunday's kind of light, but we're going to do a Friday talk and then do some talk about what happened on Saturday. Kind of go with the theme. How's that sound, Ed?
Sounds perfect. Just like Cinema Wasteland Weekend.
Yeah. Well, it was almost perfect.
Almost perfect.
Yeah, before we even talk about Friday or Saturday or anything else about the show, I want to talk a little bit about what happened. I think it was the Wednesday before the Wasteland. I didn't hear about it, and I don't think anybody else really knew about it until we got there. And the rumors were flying pretty hard Friday until the actual news kind of got out as to what had happened. And that was the tragic death or murder of Texas Chainsaw 1 and 2 veteran Lou Perryman. Not to start the show out or the convention out with a bummer, but it really did. I mean, you know, they had a nice little sign up when you checked in, and people know that Lou had died from that, but then we kind of figured out as the weekend went along what happened, which apparently some useless waste of human space decided, I guess, he wanted Lou's car, broke into his house and murdered him for his car, and then was almost, I guess, immediately caught by the cops. Definitely not a criminal mastermind. It's just kind of senseless, man. Lou Perryman was a good guy, so, you know.
It's a shame, too, because, one of the things I remember from actually getting a chance to meet Lou Perryman, it was actually the first Cinema Wasteland convention I ever went to, which they did a Texas 2 reunion. And he was a super nice guy, was very nice. And seemed very proud to be there. And you know, I remember listening to his interview that the guys over at Dead Pit did with him. And, you know, the one thing about Lou Perryman that I always got the impression of was he was a very, very proud Texan, still lived there to this day, you know, before his passing. And it's kind of unfortunate, too, because, you know, the guy sticks around the place where he grew up and where he knows the best and what he enjoys the best, and an unfortunate situation happened to him, you know, and I found out about it on the way to the convention. Somebody had sent me a text message about it, and it was horrible. It's a horrible thing. It's extremely tragic and unfortunate, and you know, he was somebody I was definitely looking forward to meeting up with again at the show.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just I also had met Lou, and I, seriously, I'm not gonna lie. I'm not as big of a Chainsaw 2 fan as a lot of people are, but I thought Lou was a really great guy, and it just sucked, man, because the guy that was on the screen, and he could have been a character at the convention because I don't know him in real life, but you hear other people talking, and he was friends with a lot of those. I mean, it seems like anybody that worked with him pretty much loved the guy. He was kind of like that guy from Chainsaw 2, that jovial, good old boy Texas boy, and he was a blast. He was a blast to have met, and he had all these great stories and very jovial, and definitely somebody that appreciated the fans, and I know the fans really appreciated him. And you know, it's just sad because you know he was really looking forward to coming back to Wasteland, and I know he wanted to, And, you know, it just sucks. It just really sucks that and, you know, it's real life and it happens. But I just really wanted to start this recap off just talking a little bit about him. Because, I mean, again, I had met him, God, I think twice. Because I think he'd also done the first Chainsaw reunion at Wasteland. I think he did. I know he did. I distinctly remember him meeting him at the Chainsaw 2 because I remember him on that panel with Carolyn Williams and Savini and the other people, and he was a blast. But yeah, seriously, he was. He's a guy. It was somebody I'm really glad to have met, and you know, it sucks, dude. I mean, it's like I remember finding out Bob Burns had died after meeting him. He was a character too. I met him at the first Chainsaw reunion that Ken had done, and to hear that you know, it was Bob Burns, wasn't it? I'm not saying the name.
Yeah,
Bob Burns.
Yeah, Robert Burns. Yeah,
Robert Burns, and then
Paul Partain too.
Paul Partain. Yeah, I mean, these were very nice people, very appreciative of the fans, and I'm glad that they all got to see how much they were appreciated and get to participate a bit in it, but. You know, guys, I'm just going to say one more thing. And, of course, this Lou Perryman was nothing to do with his age or anything else. But there's a lot of great movies from the 60s and 70s and 80s even. And there's a lot of these reunions, and you get to meet people and these actors that were in these films that we love. Don't pass up the chance to get an autograph or to make that memory with them, because you never know they're coming back around.
Yeah, and I can actually attest to that, because another kind of unfortunate thing that happened recently, too, is the passing of an adult film icon, and people obviously know her from David Cronenberg's Rabid, but it's Marilyn Chambers. And she was a guest at the prior Wasteland before the one that we're talking about here, and I unfortunately didn't get a chance to make it, and she passed away. So, you know, I'm always going to regret not going to that show. So it sucks, man. It's an important thing, like, especially too, because it's hard to explain to people that don't go to Cinema Wasteland, but it is sort of a family kind of atmosphere. I mean, the way that the Texas reunion from the past show that we went to was presented to all of us was pretty much like, hey, next show is going to be a Texas Chainsaw Massacre reunion, and the reason why I'm doing it is because everybody from the cast called me and asked me to do it. And that's the family atmosphere that Cinema Wasteland had. And believe me, there were a lot of people saddened and disappointed by the fact that Lou Perryman did not make it there. To no fault of his own, of course. But, I mean, it's just that kind of thing. People were really looking forward to seeing him there again. And you know, like you said, man, you have to take advantage of these shows. Because if you really idolize these people, or if you're really, you know, a fan of them, you know, you have to kind of take advantage of it while you can.
I agree wholeheartedly. And, hopefully the next show. I mean, the guest list looks a little thin, and we'll talk about that later. But it looks a little thin, but, you know, I think Ken's got some irons in the fire that could hopefully really spice that one up. And of course, again, it's family. I mean, it's like going to a show is it's not about the autographs. And this is no. Please, no one out there listening think I'm taking a shot on anyone, because I am not. But if you're worried about dropping $20 an autograph and you want the highest concentration of celebrities, and that's what you go to a convention for, go to Horror Hound. Because you're not going to want to come to Wasteland. Because most of Wasteland is hanging around bullshitting. But, I mean, it's like, you know, we'll talk about this, but, you know, how surreal is it to be walking around at 2 o'clock in the morning and seeing, you know, Grandpa from Texas Chainsaw out front smoking a cigarette drunk off his ass?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just that atmosphere. There's such a comfortable atmosphere there. I mean, the hotel is completely 100% behind the convention. And, you know, it's amazing, because one of the nights, and I'll talk about this a little bit later, but one of the nights of the convention, I actually spent about an hour bullshitting with Ken about the guests and his show and how he runs his show and everything else. And it was an extremely interesting conversation, and it's definitely one of the highlights of my weekend.
Definitely. So we're going to take a quick break here. I mean, that was pretty much what I wanted to talk about, kind of to start off the show. I think we'll take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about what went down on Friday and the stuff that we had fun doing. And I don't know. We'll just keep on trucking. What do you think?
Sounds good. Stay tuned, kids.
Yeah, we'll be right back after this on the Gut Munchers Podcast.
Perhaps it was inevitable. For years, Vincent Price has played the role of Dr. Death. For years, he has pretended to be a hideous, murdering monster. Now, he has actually become one. American International presents Vincent Price in Madhouse. Madhouse, where lunacy lives, fear lurks, evil walks, and death waits. Madhouse, an endless nightmare from which there is no return. Madhouse, a cinematic shock treatment guaranteed to scare you out of your mind. No one ever leaves Madhouse. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Well, we're back. So we're in a flashback to Friday night, that wonderful first night of the convention when everything's still in front of you and there's still some money in your wallet and you haven't spent everything in the dealer's room. And for me, I think I got there before you did.
Oh, yeah.
Did you get there after the dealer's room had already opened?
Yeah. Well, actually, by the time I got in there and everything, because I had to meet up with you guys to get the room key. But it was weird. Like, whenever we left Pittsburgh, you know, there was a little bit of rain. But by the time we hit Ohio, man, it was like monsoon weather. The rain mixed in with the wind. And the drive got a little bit crazy, actually, in Ohio, to the point where I thought I was going to have to pull over a couple times because it was pretty rough.
There were probably a bunch of Browns fans doing a rain dance. Yeah. And they saw your Pennsylvania plates.
It is possible, yeah. I mean, because, you know, as a Steeler fan, we've been raining on them for years. So I don't know. I mean, but we got there and, you know, then I met up with you guys real quick to come get the room key and you guys were already set and ready to go. You guys were in line to meet Christina Lindbergh.
Beeline to her table. She wasn't at her table when it first opened. So we're waiting in line. I think it was like the third or fourth guy in line. And it was funny because all I remember, I don't remember the exact conversation, but I do know that Steve and Scott, and I guess I should also mention Ed's joining me for this, but you'll also notice that we shared a room with staff members Steve and Scott. So we were already there. We kind of carpooled up together.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember being on the phone with you, and we're talking, and we're making plans. You're like, "Where are you?" And I'm like, "Lindbergh here, must go." I mean, it was so weird because I've met a lot of these guests, and not a lot of them have that effect on me. I mean, even meeting Diane Thorne, Ilsa,
mm-hmm.
Didn't have that effect on me. I'm like, "Hey, cool, that's Ilsa," but you know, whatever. But when Christina Lindbergh came walking across the dealer's room, I was just like, you know, I had one of those holy crap moments where my brain just kind of wandered a bit.
She looks pretty damn good. She's 59 years old, man.
She looks awesome for 59. And I totally got like boob pressed into my arm from a 59-year-old woman that like it was like ha. So yeah. I reverted to like that 12-year-old who's boobies and you know the whole nine yards. And I don't know. I blame Steve. It's his effect. Steve has the boobie effect on me.
Yes, it does happen.
But if anybody checks out my MySpace page, you'll see a picture of me standing next to her, and I've got a really goofy look on my face. I fanboyed. I mean, I totally went, "Wow, that's Christina Lindbergh. Holy crap." And then, let's not forget, the coolest thing about Christina Lindbergh, mm-hmm. and this is what I heard, and it's due to Synapse. She was signing your stuff that you brought up
mm-hmm.
for $10.
$10. You can't. I mean, look at this. Let's be honest. When we talk about conventions, and it's been done to death, but all the overbloated pricing by celebrities, right? Now, this is a person who lives in Sweden, who flew all the way to the United States from there to meet fans. This is the first convention she's ever done.
In the United States.
Yeah, in the United States. And she charged $10 a piece, man. You can't beat that. And that's one of the reasons right there why Cinema Wasteland is the absolute best convention in the land today, because they knew that she would make money all weekend charging the $10. And I'll be honest with you, I'm not the biggest fan of paying for autographs, but I'll gladly drop down $10 for her to sign something for me.
You know, and the funny thing is, I planned on spending $40 because I had a lobby card, which I love. Thanks, Steve, again. But I have a lobby card, which I absolutely love, and at some point I'll probably do a video of it and show people what I have. But and then I have my copy of Thriller that I was going to get signed. And I got them signed Friday night, and that was $20. I'm like, oh, cool. It's half what I thought it was going to cost me. And Saturday I went back and got her to sign two more things.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, you know what? I'm giving her the $40. And then, you know, I had planned on getting one of and let's continue. So I meet her. I get her to sign the stuff. Sitting right next to her is Michael Slipcase Felcher and Danny Steinman.
Who was awesome.
Who was an awesome guy. I'm assuming you're going to tell your getting autographed story, but this is my Friday night right off the bat. I went to Danny Steinman, and because I just slipped right over, and he's charging $10, which I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This is awesome. So I had planned on getting him to sign my Crystal Lake Memories book. I had planned on spending $20 for an autograph. And I ended up – but I always carry extra stuff just in case. I don't know how you are, but I always – this is my – I have to get signed, and this is like, wow, it wouldn't be cool if I could – if I had money left over to get him to sign it. Well, I just immediately went, dude, you're charging $10. I was planning on spending $20. I'm going to have you sign two things, and you're still getting my $20. But he signed the Crystal Lake Memories book, which was awesome, my first autograph in the book. And then I got him to sign a copy of Friday the 13th Part 5, which is the only good movie he ever made.
No, Savage Streets and The Unseen's good too, damn it.
I haven't seen The Unseen, so...
So technically the name...
It's actually accurate. It's unseen by me.
That's what you call irony right there.
Irony, yeah. I don't like Savage Streets, and that was one of our running jokes all weekend, is because Steve had got the Savage Streets poster signed, and I'm like,
sweet.
I'm like, what a piece of shit movie that is, and I thought his head was going to explode when he realized I wasn't just pulling his chain, and I was like, I don't like that movie. So, but yeah, it was fun. That was one of the things I picked on him all weekend about it. I made him. He had this big, beautiful poster sign, and it was already mounted, so it was like standing up in the corner of the room. And I kept making him have it turn it so it would face the wall, so I wouldn't have Linda Blair staring at me.
Yeah, thanks to Steve. Actually, I slept with Linda Blair on Saturday night.
That's true.
So yeah,
and
it was pretty awesome.
To flip it around, so she stared at me all night. So you might have been sleeping with her, but she was thinking about me. But,
oh, man. Yeah. You know, it's funny, though, and this will make Steve proud, too, but about me, the first person I met was Danny Steinman at the show, because I picked the perfect timing. There's nobody at his table, and walked up to him and talked to him promptly for a good 10, 15 minutes about Steve's favorite subject, boobs. It was great. I mean, yeah. The guy, see, the thing is, too, and I'll be kind of honest with you, a lot of times whenever you meet directors that are getting up there in age, and Steinman at least looks like he's getting up there in age.
Dude's had a rough life, I think.
Yeah, they're not very responsive about their movies. They might not remember or recall a lot of stuff. Danny Steinman, though, no way. I mean, he's sharp as a freaking arrow, dude. I mean, I was really surprised talking to him about a lot of stuff. And he seemed genuinely – there's two people that I ever remember meeting. Well, I should say three. But Danny Steinman's one of them. Jack Hill was another. And H.G. Lewis was another. And all three of these guys seemed very genuinely pleased to find out that you were a fan of their movies.
Have you ever met Ed V. Mickles?
No, I haven't. No, that's probably another guy that would be like, I would
trust me. Awesome dude. Awesome dude.
Yeah, I would think he'd be like that. But
I was talking to him about some of his movies, and he looked at me, he's like, wow, you really like these things. And I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the greatest kind of compliment. You know what I mean? It's fun. Like, to me, it's fun meeting the stars of these movies and everything, but the directors are where the gold's at 90% of the time. They like talking about their projects. They will answer all your questions. It, to me, it's more of an interactive thing, and I always find out more about the movie that way.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Danny Steinman was a great guest, and like you said, man, $10, can't beat it. Same thing with Christina Lindbergh. I was like a reduced to a shaking 10-year-old. pretty much when I was taking a picture with her. But, you know, but it was very cool. I was very pleased because I came in and I only really cared to get two autographs, or well, actually three, but unfortunately because of Lou Perryman, I didn't get that one. But basically the two autographs I wanted, I got on Friday night and was pretty much left to my own devices the rest of the weekend as far as how I wanted to spend my money in the dealer room. And you know, I love that, man. You can't beat it. And Cinema Wasteland is honestly, it's an economy-friendly convention. It was this time. I've never been to a convention ever besides the last Cinema Wasteland that I went to that I honestly felt was aware of the economic situation everybody's in.
Well, the only other table that I spent any significant time at on Friday is I went over to 42nd Street Pete. We're going to talk a little bit more about him. He's a cool dude. He's a regular now at Wasteland. Argane, New Jersey, F off, you blew it. You know, and if you follow Pete, you know what I'm talking about. But there's a convention that kind of pissed him off and jerked him around. And now the Wasteland has him, and we're better for it, and he's happier with us. So, ha-ha.
Yep.
Because the Wasteland is family. But Pete's a really cool dude, and I rolled up, and I was shocked. Because he had this giant stack of DVDs for $5 a pop. And what was he calling it? It's like the recession special or...
Yeah. And I mean, I can quote Pete on this because I heard him say it at the show, but he said, hey, times are tough. We get good prices. You get good prices. So, I mean, you can't beat that. I mean, Pete's an honest guy. He's an honest to goodness guy. He is one of the major reasons. Now, I know this might sound weird to people because they might not even be aware of who Pete is. But Pete is a guy that, I mean, honestly, for me, made this Cinema Wasteland convention because of something else we're going to talk about a little bit later on the show. Yeah. And plus his damn table with $5 DVDs. I spent a decent amount of money there, and I was proud to give him the money. It was awesome.
I walked away from his table having spent $25. I picked up a movie I did a YouTube video about, which, oh, God, an Asylum knockoff movie that was every bit as bad as I thought it was going to be and even worse. So that's a bad thing. But I also walked away from his table with a $5 brand new copy, $5 Code Red DVD, which is, honestly, I'm not trying to be a creep, but probably the only way I'm going to buy Code Red DVDs anymore. and it was Devil Times 5, which I thought was cool.
I also picked that up too.
I got that one. What else did I pick up there? I picked up a copy of, I want to save that last one. What else did I get? God, well, you know what? Drive me crazy. Oh, Slugs. I got a copy of Slugs. Woohoo, Slugs.
You know what else I was going to say? Both got a copy of something that we're not going to, we shouldn't mention now, but let's just say this. Because of Pete's bargain prices, it's going to come back and we're going to pass that savings on to the listener, too.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll save that one on the title. But, I mean, I got some great deals at Pete's table and. Then the rest of Friday night, I think we went back to the room, got the initial, I have to get my autographs, and now that I've spent that money, I can, like, kind of browse and have a good time. And Friday night, here's the weird thing about this Wasteland.
Mm-hmm.
The only other thing I did Friday night was a Q&A. I didn't watch movies Friday night.
Yeah, I didn't either. I really did not.
I was looking forward. They were playing Day of the Animal, which is okay, but they're also supposed to. Originally, they had a copy of Grizzly that I was excited about. And they didn't end up having that. They didn't end up showing that, which was a bummer. Because I'd have loved to see Grizzly because, Jason and I had recently done the whole Girdler tribute show. And Grizzly is to me, it's a little bit better movie than Day of the Animal. And Day of the Animal, I'd seen their copy before, and I just wasn't thrilled with it. I think my friend Scott was his first Wasteland. He did watch Day of the Animal. But there was a Q&A with Christina Lindbergh that I thought was awesome. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Oh, that was at this point for me, and I'm looking at the schedule right here, and that started at about 9:00. Okay, and basically how you said we didn't do a lot of movie watching and stuff. There was a lot of basically, just kind of fooling around and bullshitting with people and hanging out. So obviously, by the time the Christina Lindbergh thing got started, I had some alcohol in my system. It was definitely fun. Yeah, there's a few other people, but I was feeling pretty good at that time, and it was kind of funny. I mean, normally this would kind of anger me, to be honest with you, but her Q&A wasn't very informative. and I'd say it's because of the fact that she didn't remember too much from her career.
Yeah, I say, I don't remember. Though, but I got to say something about her Q&A.
Okay, go ahead.
A friend of ours and a buddy of ours, somebody we know from Slasher Club, Runk Russell.
Oh, yeah.
That guy had the best questions in that Q&A. He asked some really good questions, and I thought he actually was pretty cool in that Q&A.
Yeah, and he actually did get good answers back too.
Yeah,
she understood him, so that's a plus.
And actually, you know, some of her best stories and things she related were directly because of Runk asking some decent questions. So hey, there's a shout out, Russ. And we told you, you know, this is not some after-the-fact thing. I think we told you, I told you as you were leaving the room, like, dude, good questions. Because you asked two or three, and, like, everybody else in the room was pretty quiet. And, it struck me, she's a sweetheart, a nice lady, and I don't want to sound negative at all, but there are some guests, they get up there, and you ask them a couple of questions, and they give you answers that are, like, so unexpected or so, like, And I've told a story before about Austin Stoker, in fact, on an earlier podcast, where he answered a question with, like, well, you know, it's just a movie. And everybody else in the room just went, I'm not going to ask you a question. You're crazy.
Yeah.
Or what the hell? And, you know, Art Edinger was at, he asked her, I think, two or three questions in a row. And her response was, oh, I don't remember that. Oh, I don't remember that. Oh, I don't remember that movie. And it's just like, I mean, you don't remember the movie. How can you not remember something you did?
And I have to give Art a lot of credit too for that one, because he really saved that from going on the shithole fast.
Yeah.
And you know what? We've done interviews before. We know just how difficult that could be sometimes. So I give Art a lot of credit for pulling that off. And the thing is, though, I mean, let's be honest too. At the same time, it's Christina Lindbergh. She basically made nudie movies. So at a Q&A with her, it's kind of just an excuse to sit there and kind of look at her talk for about a half hour. You know what I mean? It's a unique experience.
She was talking.
Well, how many people? Well, yeah, trying to talk, but
no. But I mean, she was talking. She made nudie movies. I was just sitting there looking at her.
But yeah, I was gonna say it was just cool
not have
to
a giraffe neck.
No, yeah, no, it looks. And you know what? I'll say this too, and this is kind of unfortunate, but she actually looks a lot better in person than she does in pictures too.
Yeah, I mean, she's a very small woman, but she's 59 years old, dude. That's grandma age. She's still pretty damn hot.
Absolutely.
And not to be crude or rude or anything, but I mean, you're standing next to her going, "Damn, I'd be hitting on this girl in a bar or something," and she's like as old as my mom.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's just cool. I mean, put it this way, dude, because of Cinema Wasteland, we got to sit in a room and watch her talk for a half hour or try and talk for a half hour. And how many people could say that? You know what I mean?
You know, and I agree the Q&A wasn't so good, but I tell you something. She was on all weekend. She was a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Nobody walked away from her table with a bad experience. She was very appreciative of the fans. It wasn't just an autograph thing. She'd sign, but if you watched her, dude, and I was in line and I watched her and I got in line again and got a couple of more things signed later on, she engaged each person in a, she did not care if that took longer. She had a line partly because I think she wasn't knocking them out like a lot of people do. She engaged each person in a conversation and tried to talk to them. If you brought up like the Sex and Fury DVD to get it signed, she'd ask you if you'd seen it. She'd talk to you about that movie. The Thriller, which is most of the stuff she was doing is Thriller. She talked to these two people in front of me about the Thriller DVD. By the way, Mad Puppet Death, I was actually in line behind you. Because you were telling your story, and I remembered that's you were the people in front of me the one day. So, but it's just another YouTube thing, and unless you like or follow the YouTube stuff, you won't really – out there in podcast land. But this is not a regular show, so get over it.
Yes.
But no, she engaged people, talked to them about the copy of the movie they had, and I just thought that was really awesome, and I think she was a really awesome chick.
Yeah, and she was actually so nice, and this actually shows you right here, but this was – I actually brought along my girlfriend for her first ever convention experience, and by Sunday, she wanted to meet Christina Lindbergh. And she went and met her and got a picture taken with her, and she got a picture signed, and she was super sweet. And, you know, Christina actually remembered me from Friday because we spoke about something and she brought it up. And I was just really taken back by that. You know what I mean? It just shows you that with a lot of celebrities at these conventions that get bad reputations, you know, it makes a lot of other celebrities who are fine at these shows have a bad name too. And I'll be honest with you, man, even some of the people that have had some bad, you know, reputation going around about them, Tom Savini is one that comes to mind. Every time I've met these people at Wasteland, they've all been great.
I think so, the environment. I mean, you'll see Savini on occasion at Wasteland downstairs drinking with everybody.
Uh-huh. And it's out. It's a convention. If you get to know Ken, the guy who runs the show, it's a no-bullshit convention when it comes to celebrities. And so
you know what, dude? Here's the thing. If Savini was really that big of an asshole, Ken wouldn't have him there.
Yeah. And I have a story for you later on that we'll talk about when we get to Saturday about that.
Oh, really bad, and Ken's like, you're an asshole. Screw you.
Yep, got a good story about that one, so I'll definitely be telling that one.
But and then the other thing I wanted to mention about the guest that I met on Friday night is Danny Steinman was an awesome dude. And, you know, I walked up to his table and had him sign my Crystal Lakes book, and he asked me about it. And I did have a little awkward thing where – he immediately was, like, very defensive, not, like, against me, but he was so – it was so important to him that he knew that not everything in that book and the things that people had said about him were true, and that he had a side of the story, and there was two sides of the story. And he was really nice, but it was it really bothered him that maybe as a fan that I had read that book and took everything in that book to heart and thought he was a creep. And it was funny because, you know, I wanted to look at the guy. I'm like, wow, it's funny to me that you're worried that as a fan that I would think that about you. But, you know, at the same time, dude, I'm having you sign stuff. I'm a fan of you, and I'm having you sign Friday the 13th Part 5, I think gets crapped on way too much. And I'm a fan, you know, so don't sweat it. But it was just funny because he was really worried about that.
And and also I wanted to let people know about this too, because they were pushing it all weekend. Whenever you go up to Danny Steinman's table, they were pushing an interview that he'd recently done with somebody. That's actually a pretty good interview. I didn't get a chance to read the entire thing, but what I read was actually pretty good, and it's pretty extensive. And if anybody wants to check it out, you could go to the name Jeff Kramer, Kramer.blogspot.com. That's jeffkramer.blogspot.com. So if anybody out there wants to listen read a nice little interview with Danny Steinman, you could do it there. And they were pushing it at the show, so I wanted to let people know about that too.
Well, and the other thing I know that I'm going to do, and I know they're coming out with special editions of 4, 5, and 6.
Oh, yeah.
That commentary with Danny Steinman, and I think Felser's on it too.
Yeah.
That's going to be a commentary to listen to.
Oh, yeah. And that, you know what the funny thing is, too? That's actually something else that I brought up to him because I got my copy of Savage Streets signed. Mm-hmm. And I said to him about how much I enjoyed his commentary. Now, I know you've seen the movie, and I know you have the DVD. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to go back and listen to the commentary on it.
That would mean I'd have to watch the movie again.
But you know what? It's honestly worth it because he's pretty engaging about the movie. And it's kind of funny, too, because a lot of the stuff in the movie that happened wasn't really of his doing. Like a lot of the music and stuff in the movie, he had nothing to do with. So it's a really informative commentary about the making of the movie. And I had told him this. I said how much I enjoyed his commentary and everything, and I found out that he had never listened to it. And he was bugging Michael Felser like almost immediately. He's like, Mike, I got to listen to this. He was like, and Felser even told him too, like when I was talking about it, he's like, Danny, I told you. He's like, it's a hell of a commentary, and it really is. And I'm super excited for the new disc of Friday Five. And I mean, I've seen the movie a million times, but you know, just if the commentary is anything like the one on the Savage Streets disc was, which I believe it will be, it'll be awesome. And if he has a lot of the problems with what was written about him in the Crystal Lake Memories book, maybe we'll see some of that stuff get cleared up in that commentary. Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to that. I think that's going to be awesome.
Yep. So, but yeah, Friday night, the Q&A, meeting those guests, hitting 42nd Street Pete's table, having a good time. And yes, I snored really bad. Now, in my defense, I told everyone earlier in the afternoon, make sure that I take my sinus medication before I go to bed so I'm not congested, and y'all didn't do it. So, and the other person that was whining the most about me snoring was Scott. He's like, yeah, man, I came to bed at 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't get to sleep because you're snoring. And then, like, 2 minutes later, tells me he had, like, a Red Bull for the first time at, like, half an hour before he comes to the room. Dude, buddy, if you're drinking a Red Bull for the first time a half an hour before you're showing up to go to bed, don't blame my snoring for not going to bed, not getting to sleep. So piss off.
Yeah, and I will say this, actually, in your defense. Every wasteland, I take this special medication for sleep, okay, and it helps me. I believe that in the United States and in some other places they call it Heineken, but it works for me, and it actually, you know, like I knew you were snoring on Friday night, but it didn't affect me at all.
You know how I know when you're really drunk, though, dude?
How's that?
Because when you have any amount of sobriety in you at all, mm-hmm. I will never see you walking around with a can of PBR.
Oh, no, that wasn't a can of PBR I had.
Dude, it was Saturday night, you were drinking some shitty beer.
Well, yeah, it wasn't PBR. See, because I have this thing against PBR. Oh. So, like, the worst beer I think I had Saturday night was, like, the hell was it? I think it was just, like a plain old Miller Lite, maybe something like that.
Yeah. But I guess we're getting ahead of ourselves, because that's Saturday.
Oh, yeah.
So, do you have anything else to talk about on Friday night?
No, not really. It was just basically it's kind of funny because I think it ended up this way for a lot of us. But Friday night, since there wasn't a lot going on, kind of just was the night where we just kind of, you know, hung out with people we haven't seen in quite some time. And you did a lot of catching up with people. At least that's what I did.
One other thing I do want to mention about Friday night, I did stick my head into the video room for the short film block for a few bits and pieces of it, because mm-hmm. I always do that because they show a lot of the Patrick Ray shorts, and Patrick, I review those for the website, and Patrick's a good friend of Gut Munchers, and just, you know, I always stick my head in there, and again, there weren't a lot of people in there, but they get a kick out of Patrick's stuff, and I just wanted to put that little plug in there for Patrick Ray, in effect, not only that, but pay attention to the website here over the next couple of weeks, because I'm in the midst of launching a new independent filmmaker section with some neat written interviews, and I'm going to make sure the independent filmmakers, now that I've got a couple of hundred reviews on the site, I feel like they're being lost, and it's just a little sidetrack, but pay attention. But again, wanted to plug Patrick's shorts. They played Friday night. They've done it the last couple of Wastelands, and they always go over really well because they're great little short films.
He's a great filmmaker, too.
Yeah. Somebody's got to give that boy some money to make a feature, because he'll do it.
Yeah, it'll happen sometime.
Yeah. So, but anyway, I guess that's Friday night at the Cinema Wasteland. So the plan here is we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, it's not going to be Ed and I. You're going to hear, I think, one or two short – there's two short tracks. There's a little thing we recorded on our way up to the Wasteland. Talking about in the car on the way up on Friday night. And then there's another little bit there that we recorded maybe 6, 7, 8 minutes long when we got at the Wasteland. Just some of our initial thoughts. You'll hear Steve and Scott and myself. And in the second clip, I think Ed might be in there, but you might not be in there. You might not actually be on one of the clips until Saturday. But you'll hear a variety of us just, you know, chatting, mostly just sitting in the hotel room talking about what's going on, and of course the first one's in the car, we're on the way, so I think it's just Steve and I, but we'll come back, we'll listen to those two clips, and then after that we'll take a short break, and then you'll hear Ed and I again, and we'll talk a little bit about the fun that we had on Saturday. And I'm telling you, man, I didn't watch a lot of movies, but Saturday had a lot of fun. Saturday was fun. So we'll be back right after this on the Gut Munchers Podcast Special Edition Show, Cinema Wasteland, April 2009 recap.
Hello? Is anyone out there? This is Brother D. Is anyone else alive? You know, you'd think with all the zombie movies I watch and review for Mail Order Zombie over at www.mailorderzombie.com, I would have been better prepared for the zombie uprising. I mean, every week I'd watch anywhere from 1 to 3 zombie movies, and my wife, Miss Bren, would join me in every episode to go over listener mail and even occasionally join me in a review of a zombie movie yourself. But now, we woke up one morning and the zombies have taken over. Miss Bren went scouting for supplies, but she's been gone a long time. So I went out to look for her, and now I just wish I'd stay home and watched more zombie movies for everyone, weeding out the good ones from the bad. What? Wait a minute. Who's there? Miss Bren? You're not Miss Bren. Oh, no. Ah, 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 ah.
Send more podcasters.
You sweat, but you don't dare move. You want to scream, but you can't. Terror grips every nerve in your body. And your heart is beating so fast, it feels like your eardrums are going to burst. You swallow hard, and you realize there is nothing you can do but wait and squirm. Now, American International Pictures presents Squirm, the ultimate horror. Millions of writhing, seething creatures oozing out of the mire, shocked into a frenzy by 100,000 volts of electricity, driven by an uncontrollable urge to feed on human flesh. Squirm. Rated R, under 17, not admitted without parent.
To Cinema Wasteland. We're leaving Worcester now. Got Steve with me. How's it going, dude?
Great.
Looking forward to it?
Absolutely.
I already had Steve try a Worcester famous local cuisine, the spaghetti pizza from Mazzo's. Was it good?
It was phenomenal.
With spaghetti, with pizza, yeah. Together. So, yeah, that was cool. So, I'm glad you got to try the spaghetti pizza. And, like, literally, we're just leaving Worcester right now. It's about 2:20 and heading up to Wasteland. I'll be there around 3 o'clock, according to my little GPS here. But so did you get a chance to look at what they're doing this weekend?
Not specific times, but the events, yes.
So what are you excited about?
Christina Lindbergh, the Friday 13th live commentary. That's about it, I think.
I think Lindbergh is doing a Q&A tonight, too, so that should be cool. And I know 42nd Street Pete's doing another panel, and Pete's always a good time. Which reminds me, I'll just make the announcement right now, if I haven't already done so, which I don't remember what I'm going to do or talk about when I do the bumpers for this, but... 42nd Street Pete's going to be at Wasteland. He's going to do a panel, but Ed and I are going to be doing a show, a bonus show, at the end of April, and it's going to be our exploitation show, and included in there is an interview that Jason the Animal Payne and I did with 42nd Street Pete, so there's a little bit of scoopage for you. The show after this one, we'll have 42nd Street Pete on.
Woo!
Yeah, see? So that's pretty cool. But, I don't know, dude. I was really excited, but then I kind of was tempered a little bit when I checked out the schedule, because it looks like, I swear to God, didn't they have Grizzly on film as one of the things they were going to be showing?
I believe so.
Yeah. So, and it's not on there anymore. That's just Day of the Animal, and they got they're playing the Corpse Grinders on 16, and crap, they're playing Corpse Grinders for Hangover Theater, and then they're playing. There's Niall Adamson, I think Dracula versus Frankenstein, which is, the wrong movie to watch in the middle of the night, because I would pass out. Oh, yeah. Make sure your Savage Streets posters is fine.
Yeah.
But, because you're going to get Danny Steinman to sign that.
Absolutely.
And maybe, Linda Blair. You know what, dude? I wonder what I did with my receipt. Oh, well.
I think it's in one of your bags.
Yeah, okay.
If not, you got your ID.
Yeah, I got my ID. I am who I am. Give me my ticket, damn it, and let me in. So, but yeah, it's a rainy, crappy day in Ohio, so typical for spring. Springtime in Ohio is pretty crappy most of the time. But, we got a lot of stuff going down. Bring any chainsaw memorabilia to get signed?
I did bring my steel case from Dark Sky, just in case. I may just get Gunnar Hansen to sign it if I have any leftover cash.
Yeah, I had it in my hand, and I decided, never mind. Because, I like chainsaw, but I'm looking to get Christina Lindbergh to sign a couple of things. I got my DVD, and somebody gave me a really great deal. Thank you.
That great. Somebody's awesome.
Yeah, somebody's awesome. Gave me a great deal on a lobby card, which I'm psyched about. I'm going to get that signed. And that sucker's getting framed and hanging on the wall, so look for that one in my future YouTube videos, because it'll be featured prominently.
So I got that, and then I brought my Crystal Lake Memories book to get Danny Steinman to sign. But I really just think it's those two.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I'm not really thrilled about all of the... Unless they're signing dirt cheap, I might get something for them to sign. But like the Night of the Living Dead and Dawn of the Dead zombie people, I mean, you know you're going to roll in there and they're going to want $20 for their signatures. And
you're
I'm
not
like,
going to get the gray suit zombie?
Yeah, if he wants like $10, $15, $20 for a cig, I'm like, fuck no. Dude, you're the gray suit zombie. You should be happy if I give you $5. You should be happy if I pay attention to you. You're nobody. So,
yeah.
And if the gray suit zombie's one of the two listeners to the show, dude, I'm really sorry. I was just kidding and shit. So forgive me, and please don't cut our audience in half by not listening anymore. I'm kind of excited about it, and I think it's going to be cool. So we're heading on up. So as we get closer there, we'll do another report. You got anything else?
Not a thing.
Okay, so we'll see you. We'll talk to you again when we get up there. So catch you later. Bye. So, it is Cinema Wasteland, and we have already spent some money in the dealer's room and run around and done some crap. Steve's sitting here playing with his damn iPhone, showing off again. What are you doing? Oh, that was awesome, dude. timing.
Bam.
So, observations so far, we haven't actually taken the time to watch a movie. I got to tell you, Christina Lindbergh signing for... $10 for your own item. Sweetheart. Awesome lady. Looks great. Got Danny Steinman to sign some stuff. I'll probably end up doing a... You'll probably have seen it by now before I put the show up. But I bet... I can almost guarantee I'm going to do some sort of DVD update talking about the crap that I got here. And I'll have to show some of the autographs. But, I mean, dealer's room been good. Seen a lot of the old crew. Ed's running around. I saw Russ. Timmy! Charlie, the other bastard of horror, Lewis, all kinds of people running around up here. So I'm like talking a whole lot, and you're not saying anything.
It's been great.
Like, this is awesome, dude. This is.
Yeah, I mean, we headed straight for a beeline to Christina Lindbergh's area, and of course, she hadn't arrived yet. But we were standing right next to Don May and Jerry, and then we overheard it's going to be like $10 autograph. And I was like, that's freaking awesome. And she's on the way. She's in the elevator. And then she came in, and that's a good-looking woman.
You know, what did I say? Because it was funny, because, like, I'm on the phone with Ed, because he just got in here later, and he's like, so what are you doing? I'm like, she's here. And I don't normally, like, fanboy out like that, but I did lose my mind for a minute. I just kind of, like, went brain dead when I saw her. I was like, holy shit, that's Christina Lindbergh. So I now have probably my favorite thing in the collection, a signed kick-ass, they call her One Eye, lobby card. So that's cool. I bought a bunch of crap. I got a VHS tape from Ed. That's pretty cool. And I got a stack of DVDs. Saw 42nd Street Pete. He's doing his thing. And Timmy already had a few beers in him. Haven't heard Shit Glove story yet, which is unusual. I'm sure Shit Glove story will come along. You know what we need to do? We need to record the Shit Glove story.
Oh, no.
For posterity. And I just put it in the show. See if I get Timmy to... So I'm going to try to get Timmy to actually record the Shit Glove story for me. But, so, again, we haven't watched a movie yet, but I think we've had a good time. Fucking dealer's room is cool. I don't know, man.
I mean, it's just great. I mean, Steinman's cool.
Oh, he was a nice guy.
And
awkward moment, though.
Oh.
Danny Steinman, because I take my Crystal Lake Memories book up to get it signed, and I put it in front of him. He's like, you read this book? I'm like, yeah, I love it. He's like, you can't. That's bullshit. I got it. And he's like giving me, trying to give me, the URL for a blog that he interviewed him where he responds to all the stuff in the Crystal Lake Memories book. And I'm like, yeah, dude, you can't believe everything you read. And it was weird because it was like kind of awkward. So I'm like, you know, if I didn't like you and I wasn't a fan, I wouldn't be having you sign stuff. But I got my Friday the 13th Part 5 DVD signed, and
And I got the book signed, which is cool. But I didn't mean to interrupt you. Just you mentioned Danny Steinman. I was like, oh, shit, yeah, there's the story.
Yeah, he really liked my poster and, you know.
Tell him about the poster. Because I can't see it. This is not a visual medium.
It's a vintage Savage Streets poster. It's mounted. And he signed to Thanks for Being a Fan. So, I mean, he was very, he liked the poster a lot. So, I mean, it was very nice. And then Mr. Slippy was impressed as well. So, when I can impress Mr. Slippy, it makes me a happy camper.
Yep. So, God, Slipcase, 42nd Street P, Danny Steinman, Christina Lindbergh. I think we ought to mention it was a real, and I don't know, I'm sure the rest of the weekend we'll find out what the fuck happened, but
oh, yeah.
I guess Lou Perryman passed away, and he was supposed to be here, and I don't know if he passed, there's some talk about maybe he passed away, he was here, or he was on his way. I think it was this morning that he passed away, so a lot of the Chainsaw guests are a little subdued and a little bummed, and obviously, I mean, a lot of the fans are too, because I got to meet Lou Perryman the last time, 5 years ago when they did the, not 5 years ago, Lou Perryman came in when they did, a couple years ago, when they did the Texas Chainsaw 2 reunion, and he was a really nice guy. So that's a bummer seeing that he's passed away. And just remind you, these a lot of these people are, these movies are 35, 40 years old. They're not spring chickens, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I met with David Freeman last...
David Friedman, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was kind of, you know, I guess he's kind of, I don't know... He's kind of thinking he's going to pass away, and I was like, "No, you're not." And then, of course, he's very old, but he's a very nice guy, and you know, he still got. I love his voice. I mean,
yeah, David Friedman was awesome, and I don't know, man. I mean, we got a lot of stuff tonight. I mean, shortly, probably in the next few minutes, we're going to be heading out to see Christina Lindbergh do a live discussion. Talking a little bit about, not so much a panel, it's just her. We talk a little bit about her career. I'm sure there'll be a lot of Thriller One Eye, questions, and I'm sure there'll be some, the traditional awkward people come in and be like, because there's always, like, dumbasses.
Well, I'm going to try to ask her an interesting question about her couple of movies she made in Japan and see if she has any memories on that.
See, I thought you were going to ask her to dry hump you right there on a stage.
Well, I want to do a wet hump. I don't want to do a dry one.
Well, you know, dude, you're just jealous because I have. If you look at the pictures too, I got like side boob on my arm. She was rubbing up against me when I got my picture taken with her. So, yeah, I got like side boob from a lady that might be in her, you know, late 50s, early 60s, and I'm a happy son of a bitch at that. That's awesome, dude.
She's got a great She has the smallest waist, and I mean, I grabbed a hold, and she grabbed a hold of me. So.
Yeah, she's a sweet lady, nice lady.
Yes.
Put her boob on me. That was awesome. I don't often
lay your boobs on me. Lay your boobs on me.
Ah, well, that was disturbing. I guess that's it for now, and we'll be back later on with more crap.
Yeah,
talk some more shit. So
lots of more crap.
Oh yeah, definitely. So that's this is Friday night, and we're at the Wasteland, and we'll probably have another update before the evening's over. So.
Yeah, we need to get Ed on here.
You need to get Ed on here. Need to get Ed on here.
Yeah.
Ed. All right, well, that was retarded. Okay, we'll be back.
Something is down there. Something unspeakable. Something that once was almost human. Shockwaves. Something from beneath the living. Something to chill you to the deep. Shockwaves. From Joseph Brenner, rated PG. Starring the Masters of Shock, Peter Cushing and John Carradine. Shockwaves. It is something else.
Back with the Gut Munchers podcast recap of the Cinema Wasteland show. Again, it's John here and Ed, and we're back in studio, even though we're not in studio, and we're not even in the same state. The wonders of technology, don't you know?
Oh, I thought our studio was just so big it transcended the size of several states.
You're in the Pennsylvania satellite studio, the Pennsylvania branch of the Gut Munchers.
Yes, the Pittsburgh offices, even.
Pittsburgh offices. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, so we're talking a little bit about Saturday. Everybody woke up really grouchy because they didn't sleep because I snored. Except for Scott, who had a Red Bull right before he went to bed, dumbass. We all got up, and as is normal, I was the first one up because I'm hyperactive, and in Cinema Wasteland weekend, I can actually operate on 3 or 4 hours sleep.
Yeah, it's about all I got, except for mine usually shifted towards later. Like, I'd sleep 3 hours, but it started at 5 in the morning, and I wake up around 8 and get ready to take a shower and get the day started.
So we got up, had a heart-healthy breakfast, at least I did. I had sausage biscuits with a side of bacon, and by a side of bacon, I mean about a half a pound of bacon, and sausage patties. Because, you know, when you're eating at a buffet and it's all you can eat, who the hell is going to waste time on eggs and toast?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, you're at Cinema Wasteland. See, Cinema Wasteland is completely the death trap weekend because you're drinking booze and you're eating like crap and you're watching filthy films, and it's all part of the weekend. You gotta do it.
Well, to be fair, I don't drink anymore. I can't. I'm not allowed. I mean, I ate all the dead pig, which is really bad for me. But I guess, you know, I my cardiologist, because I've already had a heart attack, for those people who didn't realize that, last year I had a heart attack. So I guess the combination of all the dead pig and the booze probably would have killed me. But hey, what are you going to do? You got to give up something. And as much as I enjoyed a pint of Guinness now and then, I like bacon more.
That's just me. I think everybody else did enough drinking for you.
Yeah. Well, it was nice to be the sober guy to goof on everybody else.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm never the sober guy goofing on anybody, just for the record. It's just, especially not at Wasteland, anyway.
So we got up. We had breakfast. It was a good time. And then hit the dealer's room, wandered around a bit. What did we do?
Until about 1:30.
Yeah, the 1:30 event. Now, that would have been, was that the chainsaw?
Yes, that was the Chainsaw Massacre 35th anniversary Q&A panel, which actually, it was one of the hardest things to watch. I mean, it was really great. It was awesome. It was informative, but it was really rough.
I know that a lot of people, and you know, as we've already said, Lou Perryman had passed away, and you have a panel of people who had known this guy for 35 years, especially Gunnar Hansen, I think, was pretty tight with Lou Perryman.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that some people were giving kind of like upset with Art Ettinger, who was running the panel, that he came right out of the blocks, second question, third question maybe, and mentioned Lou and said, "Do you have any thoughts?" And Gunnar immediately said, "No, don't want to talk about that." And he didn't do it in a mean way. He did it in a way which you could tell he was very, very hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Not at Art, but that was just such a raw subject.
It was too soon, almost.
Yeah, but you know what's funny? We'll get to that here as we talk more about it. But, what was this? His name just escaped me. He kind of saved the panel by just telling.
Oh, John Dugan.
John Dugan just jumped right in and started talking about some of the stuff that some of his Lou stories. And he does an incredible impersonation, too.
yeah, he definitely
Lou.
Does.
If you had met Lou Perryman before, once he hit that voice, you knew. And, you know, a lot of that panel was just them talking about Lou.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like I said, a lot of people were kind of like, you know, why would Art say that? Well, it's a Q&A, and fans in the audience are gonna ask questions. And Lou was going to come up.
Yeah.
Somebody was going to ask about him. And I think what Art did was preempt it by asking the question himself in a way that was very respectful. So I want to give Art a lot of cred. I want to give Art a lot of props.
Yes.
And for people who were, like, criticizing him, because, I mean, even at the show, I heard people saying, well, he shouldn't have. You know, he knows this stuff better. Like, he knows conventions. He knows the fan base. And he knew somebody was going to ask it, so he asked it first.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty ballsy. Yeah, and in the end, I thought that was also a very compassionate and intelligent way of doing it.
Yeah, and honestly, I'll add this in there too to throw another adjective out there for it. But I thought that it was rather classy of Art to do it that way.
Yeah,
he wanted it, you know, presented in the right way. Art's not the type of guy. Art, trust me, Art has a great deal of respect for these movies and these people. So it was done with the best of intentions. I knew exactly what he was doing whenever he did it. And it's not easy. You know what I mean? Ken himself didn't even want to ask the question.
Yeah,
he even said that.
Immediately after Art said it, I wanted nothing to do with this question. I wasn't going to ask it.
Yeah. So I give Art a lot of credit, like you said, too, you know, professionally and as a human being for being able to do that.
Yeah. And I'm actually surprised they didn't cancel the Q&A.
Yeah, and I'm glad that they didn't, because it was one of the highlights of the weekend. It really was. It was great reliving the moments with them. And it was, you know what, in a kind of a way, even though nobody said anything, you had the feeling sitting in that room that that was quite the fitting tribute to Lou Perryman. And, and I thought that was great to be there in person for something like that, and I was happy that I was there.
This might be the most unusual panel that I've ever sat in on, because the vast majority of it was talking about Lou.
Mm-hmm.
Lou stories. And you know what was funny, and there's videos of this out there, but they're not, a lot of them are really difficult to see what's going on because they were from way in the back, but the panel ended, and it, as the last story of the panel, Gunnar Hansen, who played Leatherface, who didn't want anything to do with talking about Lou stories, was the one that immediately said no. He actually was – somebody asked him a different question about being in character and staying away, and he kind of told this funny thing about Toby. He said, you know, they're not very good actors, the victims. They don't want you near them, and he told them – he, you know, Toby kind of manipulated him to keep them apart. And then he finished it up by saying, and, you know, the only guy that basically had anything to do with me and talked to me, it was Lou, and that's, you know, when he met Lou. And he, at that point, he really started – it was very strange to see somebody like Gunnar Hansen get very emotional, because he started to tear up and he started to lose it. He started to lose it towards the end of that panel. But I just thought it was really interesting that even Gunnar at the end of that panel had told a Lou story.
Yeah.
And realized he had told a Lou story. And, you know, it's tough on these people. I mean, you know, you and I, we know him as fans and we met him a couple times, but I remember stories about Gunnar visiting and hanging out with Lou in times, and that they were actually friends and known each other for 35 years.
Yeah.
So that has to be hell on somebody to know somebody that long and lose them like that.
Yeah. And
you thought you were looking forward to meeting him, hanging out with him that weekend.
Yeah. And especially due to the fact too, that I think that, one of the things when people talk about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre a lot, it's not quite the same as other classic films, you know, like Halloween, for example, is a classic. And that's mainly due to John Carpenter's genius involved with that film. Okay. And you could say that about Romero's movies and some of Wes Craven's films and all the greatest directors, you know what I mean? You can Bava's and on, but with Tobe Hooper's Texas Chainsaw Massacre, isn't it kind of strange how Tobe Hooper never recaptured what he did in that film ever again? And a lot of people have said this over the years, and I'm inclined to believe them to a certain extent, but the cast and the crew had a hell of a lot to do with the success of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Which is ironic, because Tobe Hooper basically dumped them all after he did that movie.
Yeah, and you know what the one thing, it's actually two things. I was going to say the one thing is Lou Perryman worked on that movie as much, if not more, than anybody else that was involved with it. And trust me, that movie's success has a lot to do with Lou Perryman. And
well,
another point,
I think Lou's the one person Toby brought back.
Yeah, he was. Well, he's the one that fought for him. Yep, he's the one that fought for him to have that role. And the one thing that I guess shows you the mark of a person, what kind of a person Lou Perryman was during the Dead Pit interview I remember listening to and hearing them bring up Tobe Hooper. And he basically said that, you know, what you just said, that Toby dumped us all. But you know, he actually still defended Tobe Hooper and said, you know what happens with people? Like, he didn't hold a grudge. He wasn't bitter. You know, Lou Perryman, out of all the people, and this is nothing against any of them, because I understand where they're coming from. These people were pissed off and upset because they never made a fair amount of money off the movie.
And Tobe Hooper.
Exactly. But what I'll say was Lou Perryman was one of those people as well, and I never, ever thought that Lou Perryman was bitter about it.
No.
And that says a hell of a lot, yeah. You know, to someone like me as a fan, you know what I mean? It's kind of like he'll take the recognition over the money. You know what I mean? It's better to live and be recognized for doing something great than being rich and living and being recognized for nothing. You know what I mean? And I think that's the kind of a mark of what kind of a person Lou Perryman was. And that's the vibe that I've always gotten from the other people I've talked to about him and everything. So, you know, it was unfortunate. But like you said about, you know, seeing Gunnar Hansen getting upset and everything, it was kind of a special moment. And it was great to be there in person for that. And I thank Cinema Wasteland and Ken for pulling it off.
Yeah, it was an incredible panel. I mean, it was just something. It's something you'll never. It was unusual. It was very unusual. It was a very odd thing. You never want to see anything like that happen again to create those set of circumstances. But it was odd. It was also really kind of interesting to see, because for me, I think that was probably very cathartic for them, because I think that might have been the first time as a group together they were talking about Lou. And it was very interesting, and not to get too much, too deep into something, but, we were in the front row, and it is probably the best Q&A I've ever seen.
Yeah, it marks up there with the best, in my opinion.
Just because of the circumstance and the heartfelt feelings, and it went where it went, and the fans, I always worry about these Q&As because there's a couple of idiots, but even the fans were good.
Yeah, everybody is very respectful and just, this really, out of all the Q&As, I guess I could say, that I've seen through the years at Cinema Wasteland, this is the one that felt the most like a Cinema Wasteland Q&A, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Due to the fact that it was special, because the thing is, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre reunions have been done to death. They've been done everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Ken was the first guy to do it, and... he's doing one for the 35th anniversary, and I'm sure a lot of these people will do a lot of other conventions this year, but they're not going to be able to match that feeling. And even if Lou would have been there, I mean, the same kind of thing. It's just that feeling that not only are these people happy to be doing this convention, but they're happy to be here at this convention this specific weekend with these people. And I love that. You know what I mean?
Yep. So, but that was the first event of the day.
Mm-hmm.
There was another event. And that, I think the next thing up would be talk about the, unless you have something else, would be the 42nd Street Pete.
Actually, there is. There's something I wanted to mention real quick, and I know you were in the room for a bit of it, and I just thought this was really interesting, and it kind of shows you how cool of a convention this is.
Yeah.
But there was a gentleman at the show. His name was Ricard Gramfors. He was one of the people.
Handler for...
Yes. He was basically there with Christina Lindbergh.
Mm-hmm.
But he did a PowerPoint presentation, a lecture basically about Swedish exploitation films. And, it wasn't for everybody.
It was
you
a
know
bit
what
dry,
I mean?
But it was interesting.
Yeah. But it was a really exhaustive presentation. I mean, it was pretty damn neat. And I've never seen anything like that at a convention before.
And
it's kind of cool to hear somebody, even if you're not completely enthralled with it, like when somebody's an expert on something, it's kind of interesting to listen to them talk.
Well, and it was funny because there were a surprising amount of people sitting in there. Paying attention to this guy and listening to what he had to say. And then when they got to the question part, there were plenty of questions for him. So, yeah, I was in for part of that because I tend to wander around on Saturday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
But
what an interesting little thing, you know what I mean, to have at a convention. I've never seen that before. I just thought it was kind of an ambitious thing for Cinema Wasteland to do it. I'm really glad they did it because I thought it was something very cool.
Ken's always trying new stuff.
Absolutely.
Ken's like, I got an hour here. Try it. What's the worst that happens? It sucks and we don't do it anymore.
That's it.
I love that attitude. I love that attitude.
And that's why we keep coming back.
Yeah, because you never know what you're going to get. But so yeah, I forgot about that. That was a good catch on Saturday. But then the other thing that I think was the polar opposite of the emotions and the seriousness and the vibe from the Texas Chainsaw panel was the I forget what they called it this time, but it was basically 42nd Street Pete, and with a panel of people and just kind of talking about. The scene, the gig, and it's very similar to a conversation I had with them, which we'll promote here a little bit later on. Whenever you start, whenever people go, "Hey, Pete, tell us a hooker story," is the first story of the panel. You know what you're getting. It's going to be a wild thing, and Pete had a couple of hooker stories, and Russ might not have had such great questions. But Russ was participating a bit in this one too.
Yeah. It was a blast.
But it was funny. It was fun. It was light. Ken was there. Art was there. Jason Martinko, who as you listen to the show, you're going to hear a lot of really killer music being played for Bumps, and that'll be the Jason Martinko, the unofficial band of the Gut Munchers podcast.
Yeah.
Because basically Jason gave me permission to use his music, so no, I'm podcast safe, all you guys out there that worry about it. But But yeah, Martinko was up there on the panel, and Todd Sheets was up there. But they were basically up there just to, if you notice, they were all just basically up there to keep poking Pete and get him to tell stories. But Pete had a couple of hooker stories and talked about getting stabbed and just the wacky crap that he saw on 42nd Street. Just outstanding. Outstanding.
Well, let me throw this out there, because here's a little bit of insight on how this whole thing happened, because I have an inside source. And by inside source, I mean I'm just friends with Jason Martinko.
Yeah.
But what happened was, at the last Cinema Wasteland show, Jason had done a video interview with 42nd Street Pete, because for those who don't know, Jason's working on a golden age of pornography book that's going to be one of the most exhaustive books ever written on the subject, believe me. He did a really, really interesting interview.
I can exhaust myself pretty quick with a pornographic book.
Well,
oh,
not
wait,
like,
I'm sorry. That's not what you meant.
Yeah. Well, a pornographic book with no pictures.
Dude,
so
what the hell?
It's a resource material is what it is. So
damn resource. I need some damn pictures.
You'd be surprised at how much resource material is out there.
You know what's crazy? Every time you're on the show, you sleaze it up. I don't know. It's crazy.
I bring it with me everywhere.
It
happens.
This is what's going to mess with people, because one show I'll do it with you and it'll be all sleazy. The next one I'll do it with Jason and it'll be all Christian-y.
Well, it's a nice balance here Munchers, you know what I mean? But yeah, the thing is, they did this really cool interview with Pete, and Ken had seen the interview that they did and was actually really interested by it and thought it would make for a good panel discussion. And basically, like you said, there was, you know, Jason was involved. Ken took place in it. 42nd Street Pete did the thing. Andy Kopp, who's a very, very underrated independent filmmaker, and also Art Edinger from Ultraviolet Magazine. And Todd Sheets, who, by the way, if you guys have never seen the Zombie Bloodbath movies, you've got to check those out. And he directed those, and they're awesome. But yeah, I mean, it was a nice little mashup of people too, even with Todd Sheets talking a little bit about the grindhouses in his hometown of Kansas City.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool. And obviously you got all the tales of 42nd Street. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, and I know we talked about this at the show, but I could have sat in there for another 2 hours and listened to them talk.
Yeah, Pete's fascinating. Pete saw so much stuff. And these guys had good questions asked them too. I mean, it was a really, really cool little shindig, little panel. And like you said, I could have gone on and on and on. But they filled up, what was it, about an hour and a half?
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, dude, let's be honest, too. You know how you said, you talked earlier about the convention that kind of screwed Pete over?
Mm-hmm.
If they would have seen these Q&As, man, they got to be kicking themselves in the ass, because I'll tell you what.
I do, because I think the way they screwed him over is they told him he couldn't sell pornographic material at his table.
Well, I mean, it's just the point. I mean, dude, look what Pete brings to the show. I mean, every show, no matter who the guests are, if Pete's there, he's going to probably have one of these panels. And no matter what, they're always going to be extremely interesting and extremely fun to check out. So, I mean, I hope this is an every time thing with Cinema Wasteland. Now, I'm excited for it, and I can't wait to see more.
Plus, you have to appreciate somebody who can drink Joe Netter under the table.
Yeah, and Pete's that guy, believe me.
Yeah, Joe Netter ain't human either, dude.
Yeah.
Pack it away.
Yeah, and that leads me to another funny story I have that I'll tell later on about Joe Netter and Saturday Night. So,
but then, actually, right after that panel, one of the other autographs I got is I immediately went back into the dealer's room, went to Todd Sheets' table, and bought my copy of the trilogy, the Zombie Bloodbath trilogy, got it signed. So I thought that was pretty cool. That was one of the things I didn't expect to buy, but it was worth every penny, and I'm glad I have it. And you guys can, I mean, they're not, I'm not going to lie, they're not the greatest movies in the world, but they're something I've always wanted to have.
Mm-hmm.
There will be some reviews coming for Gut Munchers, written reviews of the Todd Sheets flicks. That was pretty cool. I kind of got up and wandered around the dealer's room a bit just kind of hung out. Then immediately after the Pete thing, actually, I went and bought that. And then I think we pretty quickly after that, well, you didn't get to go, but we went to Pizza Hut, which is like this weird – Pizza Hut's terrible food. But it's like for some reason there's like the – you go to the Pizza Hut down the road, and it's like an extension of Wasteland on Saturday night.
You go with like 20 people.
Yeah. I mean, like we were there and I want to give – I'm white. I don't know why I use shout-out because that's just not me. But I do want to mention some of the really kick-ass people that I got to spend part of the weekend with from the Roomwork message boards. And we actually Steve, Scott, and I went down and had pizza with Kiss Fan, a.k.a. Brett, Mr. Monster, Andy from Destroy the Brain. A couple of young ladies who I think you have a story about that relates to Joe Netter, who are really nice young ladies.
Yes.
And I doubt they're listening to the podcast or ever would, but if they do, please forgive me. I don't remember your names.
I think it was Jill and Jen.
Was it Jill and Jen?
I'm pretty sure it was Jill. I know Jill, but I think that her sister's name was Jen.
Yeah, and I know there were a couple other people at the table, and we just, you know, we just hung out, and then about the time we got done, the whole DSK crowd that was hanging out with Timmy and everybody. So Timmy and Charlie from BastardsOfHorror.com and the DSK crowd, which is Rick from Slasher Club, they all came rolling in. I don't think Russ was with them.
No, Russ was inebriated at that point, I believe. Yeah,
I thought Russ was probably inebriated with your crew. But they were coming in as we were leaving, and then when we got back and... So we had the and there's the pictures on MySpace, if anyone's interested, of the crowd at Pizza Hut and having a good time. And we got back, and I don't think I asked you. Did you – wait, did you sit with us for the Q&A or the live commentary? Were you in there with us?
You know what? I tried to get down to the room in time because, as we all know, attending Wasteland could be quite quite busy.
Yeah.
But by the time I got down there, there was no room whatsoever. That was a packed house, and I basically just spent the night kind of bullshitting and hanging out with people and just kind of catching up once again. You know, like you said, it was a slow movie watching kind of Wasteland, so it left a lot more time to do other stuff. And
The only movie I sat down and watched was I sat down and watched Friday the 13th Part 5, which is funny because you're the one that champions this damn movie and you didn't even sit there.
I would have, though, if there were seats. I totally would have.
Well, you got your ass down there in time. I could have saved you a seat. It's next to me. And I had Poreos, too, which I introduced all the Room Work people to Poreos. And they're like, what's a Poreo? And I'm like, it's not an Oreo, but it looks like an Oreo, but there's like hardly any stuffing in it, and it's for people that want to spend like 99 cents at Walmart. It's a Poreo. So all them Canadian sons of bitches learned what Poreos were. You're welcome.
Yeah, and they pretty much showed me again what beer was, because, you know, I mean, I know what that
is. I'm Irish. The Canadians don't know dick about beer.
Oh, I know that. It's just they drink more than most people I know.
But just to talk a little bit, there was what it was Friday the 13th, and it was live commentary with Danny Steinman, the director, Slipcase, and Art Ettinger. And Danny Steinman got a couple of good zingers in. But I'm going to tell you, it was the Art Ettinger and Michael Slipcase Felcher show the whole way, and they had a blast with it. And you know, the other thing that I thought was awesome about Danny Steinman is. The reason he didn't get a lot of words in edgewise is I was close enough to watch him. And, you know, here he is doing this live commentary over his film. And these other two dudes are, like, totally just going for it and having a blast. And everybody in the room is laughing their butt off. And Danny Steinman is laughing with us. He's laughing with us. He's laughing at these two dudes and having a good time. And I thought that was absolutely awesome. And then the other thing, before I forget, again, it's Danny Steinman. This was Scott's first movie convention, first Wasteland, first movie convention, first experience. And Scott's one of our staff members. And I cannot tell you how happy I was at the experience he had. He had fun. He bought movies. He bought T-shirts. He had a good time. Everybody was cool with him. He had a wonderful time. But you know what he did part of Saturday night?
What's that?
He and Steve sat down at a table with Felcher and Danny Steinman and just shot the breeze and had drinks.
Really?
How
I didn't
cool
even know that.
Is that for your first convention? How cool is that?
Yeah.
It's like, and I told him, like, dude, you're not going to realize how great of a memory that is. And there's pictures of him with them down in the bar, and then, you know, he just he ran off and had a great time, and it was awesome, and I'm just so glad he had such a great, wonderful time. And this is the great thing. It's not the first new person I brought to Wasteland, and they all have a wonderful time because, you know, you go to the Wasteland, and there's a lot of people drinking and having a good time. No one's – well, occasionally you get somebody that's shitty, but the crowd tends to take care of that person.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, just people are very inclusive and welcoming, and everybody has a good time.
Oh yeah, and it's a good atmosphere to have that good time in. Nobody bothers you. There's not ridiculous autograph lines all weekend. Nope. Everything's reasonably priced. The guy who runs the convention is awesome. The guests are always cool and very nice and cordial. The whole weekend,
most of them party, especially Saturday night. You'll see a lot of the guests partying down there with the fans, which I have never seen that anywhere. Well, I shouldn't say that. Zombie Fest, I'll never forget standing at Zombie Fest watching a band and having some dudes come up next to me and just start bullshitting about the band and the music. And I'm having a conversation with them for a couple minutes, and I turn around as Joe Pilato and I almost crap my pants. I'm like, Captain Rhodes, Captain Rhodes. But
well, in all fairness, bring Captain Rhodes to Wasteland and see how that fares for everybody.
I can't believe Ken hasn't done a Day of the Dead reunion yet.
You know why?
Mm-mm.
From what I understand, remember for a while they were doing the it was like Joe Pilato, Lori Cardell, and Gary Clark were doing shows together.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Lori Cardell dropped out of that. She had some other stuff she was busy with and couldn't do it. So I'm assuming
to Pittsburgh.
What's that?
Isn't she like in Pittsburgh, Lori Cardell?
I'm not sure anymore, to be honest with you. She might not be. She writes a lot of stuff about, you know, like I think it's autistic kids. Or something like that, or you know, she's working with kids or doing something with writing and kids. So
yeah, I can act retarded for a weekend if that will interest her.
Yeah, you know, maybe, what the hell, whatever works.
Great. Yeah, you know, I just created hate mail.
Yeah.
Autistic children should not be called retarded. Dude, it's a joke. Get over it. Plus, why, if you're that sensitive to that kind of stuff, why are you listening to my podcast? Piss off.
Yeah, because we don't like retards here.
No, I do love them.
But in like a kind of poke them in the stomach and watch them make a goofy face kind of way, right?
It depends. Some of them are kind of hot.
Oh, man. Not seeing. I'm the one sleazing up your podcast. Jesus Christ almighty.
Come on, dude.
Oh, man. This is what Cinema Wasteland does. It makes you start thinking that retarded people are good looking and yeah.
That's why I know. I'm hoping I get lucky.
Oh, Jesus.
Go, well, you know, it's Wasteland. What the hell?
Yeah, you wouldn't be the first person to do that, I'm sure.
Well, I'm married anyway, but yeah, no, seriously, no, I would never do that. Yeah, no. No matter how much Steve wants a spoon with dudes, not happening. Ever since Jason left him and moved to Japan, Steve's been all lonely.
Yeah, which we got to see Friday night a little bit, I guess.
And if people
or Saturday night.
And if people decide that they really, 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 really want to see this picture. I have a great picture with Steve and his protein shake, I guess you would call it.
Yeah, I guess that's what Steve calls
Friday
it.
Friday night, Steve's like, I got a protein drink, and he pulls it out. And I'm like, that looks like a giant dildo. So yes. He drinks it, puts a cap on, flips it over, and starts to make sweet love to it.
Oh, God. See, I'm glad I wasn't in the room for that.
Like, dude, hold on. Let me take a picture. And he stops.
Yeah, Steve's way too much of a health nut.
Steve was awesome, dude. No offense to anybody, but this is probably the most fun I've ever had just hanging out in the room. we had some good freaking times this past weekend. It was crazy. Tell me it wasn't crazy.
It was, man. It was really hard to keep up with everybody this time, man. I found myself being dragged in a million different directions, and it's so hard because it's like, you know, before whenever I'd go to Wasteland, it would be like, you know, I'd know a handful of people there, but now it's getting to the point where like we know so many freaking people that go to the show. It's you know, you're busy all weekend.
Well, Well, and there's, I mean, look, just off the top of my head, you got Slasher Club, you got Charlie and Timmy from Bastards of Horror. There's you and Blood Type, myself, and I'm bringing a whole Gut Munchers crew, and there's the Dead Pit Nuts, people from Dead Pit, not CK and Uncle Bill, but a lot of the Dead Pitters show up, and, mm-hmm. and then we know people just from around, like the Room Work message boards, and then you throw in people like, well, Head Cheese is from Dead Pit, and
mm-hmm.
and. You know, we got
Anthropophagus.
From Canada. Well, yeah, Girl Pants comes down.
Yeah.
sorry, Lewis, and I know you didn't really have girl pants on this time, but those, what was they, like silver satin pants you wore the one year? You now forever known as Girl Pants, no matter how many cool VHS tapes you own. You can big box this and big box that, but you always be Girl Pants to me, buddy.
Yeah, he little boxes the pants.
Yeah. Plus the fact he looks like he's 12. He's like 18 in the day, face planted in front of a cop, and a cop's like, "Oh God,
yeah,
I don't want to deal with this." I thought that was Last Wasteland. That was funny as
yeah.
It's all good out. You know, but yeah, it's just good times, good times. There was a lot of people there. Oh God, I mean Andy from Destroy the Brain is also from the Room Org message boards. But there's all these shows and all these sites and everybody hanging out. We just know too many people now, Ed. I just that's what it is.
Hey, we're getting too important.
I don't know important, but I just popular maybe I would say. Well, no, people don't really like me that much either. But I don't know. For me, it was just we didn't watch a lot of movies because we were just busy hanging out with people. And in the end, I'm glad I went to the Friday the 13th Part 5. And it would have been cool if I'd have watched more movies, but. If I have a choice of watching a movie or actually like the one time a year or twice a year I get to hang out with Mr. Monster or BS with you or Andy from Destroy the Brain or something like that in person,
mm-hmm.
or even hang out in the room and just, BS back and forth with Steve, who I don't get to see that often,
mm-hmm.
I'd rather do that. I mean, I guess it's just what it is. And next time what we'll probably do, and I thought it was kind of foolish to do this in the past, but the truth is we spent enough time in the room just kind of hanging out and having a good time and visiting. Mm-hmm. Next time I'm going to bring a portable DVD player, and if nothing else, play those like trailers in the background just to have some noise going on. But yeah, dude, I think it was a successful Saturday. We had some partying and, there was a great Danny Steinman thing. The live commentary was great. The two panels were great. There's no doubt in my mind this is the first Wasteland I've ever gone to. I ended up watching like one damn movie. I don't think I watched a single thing on film. I didn't watch a single thing on film. I watched like the first half an hour Day of the Animals, and I think I went to bed. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I've seen this.
I didn't watch a whole lot on film either. I know that my Saturday night pretty much consisted of staying up till 5 in the morning with Mr. Monster and Andy and Steve was still hanging out. Kristen
Steve,
from...
Like, I'm not going to drink and I'm not going to stay up late because I have to drive home. And he rolls drunk off his ass and he fucking falls into bed with Scott who's like, hey, man, what are you doing?
it was a mess, but the good thing about it though is I was part of the last men standing, so to speak, with some of the people I just named, and it basically consisted of us, someone coming up with the bright idea of taking Joe Netter up to Jill and Jen's room, who were sleeping, and scaring the crap out of them. Which it's hard to explain exactly what happened. It was basically just a bunch of drunken tomfoolery, I guess, is the best, or not the best way to explain it. It's actually a horrible way to explain it. But, it was just a blast hanging out and just acting like idiots. And, everybody's having a good time, and it was a blast. And Joe Netter was hanging out, getting drunk with everybody Saturday night. And, it really adds to the atmosphere of the show and just the memories that you have from the show. It's kind of like how you said about, Scott hanging out with Danny Steinman and stuff. And it's just like you always take home certain memories from these shows, and they're always lasting memories. And it's always a good thing, at least in my opinion. When you go to these shows, it's not just you're not going to a money pit to throw your money at celebrities. It's a lot more than that. And I think that's the best part about Wasteland.
It's a very good time. It's a blast. And even if you don't drink, like I didn't drink at all, and I still had fun hanging out with you guys. Just bullshit.
Absolutely.
Just chatting and hanging out. I hung out in front of a hotel. I hung out a little bit in the room, and just hanging out and connecting with people and chatting about movies. And, They're just having a good time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's Saturday, and I think we've capped it pretty well. Do you have anything else?
No, I think that's about it, man.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a short break, and I've got one clip from, I think it's Saturday morning when we got up, and I had the stuck the recorder in everybody's faces and kind of like annoyed the hell out of people, which I'm good at doing. So what we'll do is take a short break, and we'll come back. You'll hear some of the stuff I recorded Saturday morning at the convention. Maybe 8-10 minutes long at the most. And then after that, another little break, and then you'll hear Ed and I again, and I guess we'll just kind of do an overall recap, because Sunday wasn't too thrilling, but we'll just do an overall recap. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's the plan. So we'll be right back. We'll be back. Blah. You know, I'm not...
We'll be right back after this.
On the Gut Munchers podcast. Thanks for the assist.
Sure.
All right.
Convention girls know how to take care of a man in the most unconventional ways.
I'm Susie. I'm obsessed with my toys of joy.
I'm Gloria. Once is never enough.
I'm Ann. I would do anything in a bathtub.
Convention girls love it. So will you. Rated R. Plus special second feature, Naked Rider. She entered young and innocent, but came out the Naked Rider. Rated R.
Saturday morning, and apparently everyone didn't get any sleep last night, except me. I had a good night's sleep.
John snores.
That's Scott. He's one of our staff members is here. I wish this was a visual medium, because he's wearing just the orangest orange shorts I've seen in many a year. So, Friday night, recap. What do you guys think? Come on.
Fun. Word association.
I like the hula hoopers.
This must have been a party downstairs last night, huh?
Uh-huh.
Cool.
I did not expect to see people hula-hooping down in the lobby at 2:30 in the morning.
You never know what's going to happen around this place. It's the wasteland. It's crazy. So, did anybody watch any movies last night? I got halfway through Day of the Animal, and I'm old. I had to take my ass to bed, so I went to bed, but...
I sat all the way through it.
Did you like it when Leslie Nielsen went Mono E Grizzly? That is a pretty good movie. It was awful pink. I mean, I understand it's an old 16mm print, but yeah.
Yeah, it was the blood version. Yeah. It was ever cleaned in the time that it's existed.
Yeah, well, it's a film. It breaks down. It gets crappy.
The DVD looks halfway decent.
The DVD looks sharp, yeah. It's in a Shriek Show 3-pack, I think, with Grizzly and some other fucking movie.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Guess the movie?
No, I said yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, shit. It is early. It's Saturday morning, and I haven't had my bacon. Need to get all you can eat bacon. I think we're waiting on Ed to get out of the shower. So for all you ladies that dig his deep voice, probably just a few feet away behind a solid wooden door, he's taking a shower. Say hello, Ed!
Hey!
So, yeah, he's in a good mood this morning, but it's a short update.
I wonder what his voice was like before he went to puberty.
Probably the same, dude.
Oh.
So, what are you guys looking forward to today?
Donnie Steinman thing tonight with the live commentary.
Friday the 13th, part 5, live commentary. That looks good.
He does have a short Q&A today for about a half an hour.
Cool.
He said something after I think they were going to Savage Streets, which you love. So,
yeah.
Does it really have a Q&A today?
Yeah.
After Savage Streets, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great, dude.
The shitty part is you got to sit through Savage Streets.
Shit. Shitty for you, pal. It's like having fun for us. For you, it's like fucking an iceberg.
Yeah. All right. But, I don't know. Today's going to be a big day. I didn't watch much of movies last night, but, probably I'm definitely going to the Stooges thing at 12. And for me, dude, I'm probably, depending on what time we finally get done eating breakfast, I'm going to hit Hangover Theater with the Corpse Grinders on film. So, I don't know. What are you thinking about doing?
I might do that, but definitely skipping the Stooges.
You don't like Stooges?
Not at this particular time.
What the hell kind of answer is that?
I just
what are you, a politician?
Steve? Yeah. I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
Oh. Yeah, this is a Stooges room here, buddy.
No, I mean, it looked like Curly, but I'm not doing the shuffle.
Yeah,
Well, yeah, dude, 3:30, Danny Steinman is going to do a fan talk. And as much as I goof on Savage Streets, I think anytime you get to hear Danny Steinman talk, it'd be pretty cool. And I'm actually, dude, did you see that movie Sex Galaxy that they're playing?
I've seen that it was playing.
It's like the first green movie because they've recycled footage. It's like from, and it's supposed to be kind of interesting, so I might have to check that out. Oh shit, 42nd Street Pete, Tales from Times Square, 5 o'clock, buddy.
With Jason Martinko on the panel.
Is it really?
Yep.
Cool. We're either gonna have to do a late supper or an early supper, so not to miss that one. Cause why would they put something that cool at 5 o'clock? It's like supper time.
The weird thing is, I noticed that they usually keep that time period open,
mm-hmm.
and they're not in this show.
No, they're not. Hey, dude, did you notice? It just seems to me like I was really, really excited about, and I talked to Steve about this yesterday. I was really excited about the film lineup that we're playing. And then when I checked it before we got here, it's like apparently they must have lost. Like they were going to play Grizzly, and it got pulled. And I mean, it's like I'm not going to complain about Funhouse, but I mean, Toby Hooper's The Funhouse is the Saturday night midnight movie.
Isn't it at 1?
Yeah, it's at 1.
Yeah, I like that. That's kind of cool. I like The Funhouse.
No, I tell you, that 11 o'clock live commentary over Friday the 13th, Part 5, I will be there.
Yeah.
Just to hear Danny Steinman and Michael Slipcase Felcher.
No offense to anybody, but I don't know why anybody would go see Anita over staying here for that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it was Thriller and she was there, but, I mean, Anita's one of those movies you've seen it once and you don't really need to see it again.
Well, do you know where the theater at that's playing it?
Uh-uh.
No, because, yeah, I was curious to see how close it was. I wasn't going to go anyway, but I wanted to see how close it was.
Yeah, I think they're going to... I hope they don't get really pissed off if they don't get a great turnout, because personally, I don't know, we'll see today. Friday night was sparse. It was sparse. But I kind of expected that with the economy and... You know, and people are like, well, it's a Texas Chainsaw again. People did it 5 years ago. Well, you know, the truth is that might be part of it. But like you made a good point, Ed, earlier on that it's just cheaper to bring those people in. So, and you know, he still puts on a good show without dumping a bunch of money out. You know.
But unfortunately, there's one major problem with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre reunion.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, and we had talked a little bit about it last night, but the fact that now we know, I guess, from what we're hearing is he was killed by a whack job, so... Hey, somebody's vibrating.
Woohoo!
You've been summoned.
I have.
You gonna go eat breakfast?
Yeah.
Alright, we'll head down. Save three seats. Get a big table. So, alright, well, we're gonna go eat some breakfast and fucking hang out and probably do another update later on. I mean, if anybody thought these were gonna be thrilling and exciting and awesome and shit, you've never heard them before, so get over it. But this is just a Cinema Wasteland update, just bullshitting and having a good time, and I'm sure I'll put something good in the show to listen to if this sucks, but you're going to listen to this anyway, so we'll catch you in a bit. Again, this is Saturday morning. We'll see how we're doing Saturday night. All right, bye!
Well, we're back. This will probably be pretty short because Sundays are always kind of lame at a convention. You basically get up after having a good time Saturday night, and I get everybody the hell out of the room before checkout, and one more trip through the dealer's room, and then we head the heck home. So I guess the highlights for me on Sunday, I wasn't watching anything, but the highlights for me on Sunday, well, stuff's flying everywhere in this room. The studio's falling apart. Sorry about that, guys. Walked through the dealer's room, bought a couple of T-shirts. The one thing I wanted to do and I had meant to do is I'd never not a huge chainsaw fan, but I've become, especially after that Q&A on Saturday, I woke up Sunday just thinking, I want to get Gunnar Hansen to sign something, because I hadn't ever got him to sign anything. So I bought a nice 8x10 at his table, which I'm going to frame and hang on the wall with the other 8x10s of celebrities that I have, which I thought was pretty cool. And like I said, bought a few odds and ends, said my goodbyes, kind of. Well, we had, strangely enough, this is the first Wasteland I think we ever all got up and actually went to breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
And again, I had another heart healthy breakfast with, you know, biscuits and gravy, side of bacon, sausage, whole nine yards.
And I was jonesing for cereal.
Dude, it wasn't a jonesing. It was almost a mental health issue at that point.
It really was.
I think you bought the buffet, and then you had like 3 bowls of cereal. And you just, it's
yes.
Like, it's like, was it Fruit Loops or something like that?
Tricks.
I knew it was something fruity. You're just like, very colorful. And man, you were shoveling it. It was kind of impressive. I mean, you know, I'm not judging you, because you know I ate my own weight in bacon those 2 days. So
I think I had eggs and bacon too. I don't know what the hell it was, man. I woke up and it was like the first thing I thought about that popped in my mind. It's like, I want a bowl of cereal. Don't know why. Like,
I've lived on beer for 48 hours. Hook me up.
Yeah, give me something with some sustenance in it.
So it's like, I didn't get my pizza last night. Give me some cereal.
Yeah,
but, and you know, I don't know. I mean, you already mentioned Ursa, but I thought it was pretty cool to meet your girl and, mm-hmm. and hang out with her. She was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I think actually, Andy joined us. Andy from Destroy the Brain joined us for breakfast on a Sunday morning, and
mm-hmm.
and you know, it was just kind of cool. The convention's winding down. One more time to walk through and see the guests. I think actually Saturday is when I got Christina Lindbergh to sign a couple of things, extra things for me. So I think the only stuff I picked up was the Gunnar Hansen photo and a couple of more T-shirts. And that was it. That was pretty much it. And that was the Wasteland for me. We almost stuck around, but then Steve was like, oh, I need to start heading home. So he slept in the car back to my house and then hopped in his Jeep and drove back to Kentucky.
Oh, man.
You know, watch me piss everyone off. Yeah, he drove back to Louisville.
Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah. And I know it's Louisville, and I'm just pulling you guys' leg.
We
have a Louisville in Ohio, but spelled the same way. But I know it's Louisville down there, or Louisville. Mm. It's Louisville.
No, it's Louisville. To hell with all them son of a bitches. It's Louisville.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was, you know, I got home and had my loot and had a day to recover, and it was a hell of a good time. It's a hell of a good time. So
yeah,
weird start to the weekend. Terrible start to the weekend with the Lou Perryman thing. Saturday was cool, Friday was cool, and you know.
It was a good time, man. It's the Wasteland always goes so damn fast, and it's a little bit of a shame, you know, that goes so fast, but it's always worth going, and it's always fun, and you know, there's always reasons to go, and there's more and more reasons like every time you go. So, you know, it's honestly like recently I was watching one of the videos that Russ did over at Slasher Club, mm-hmm. and he made a comment. He said, and I kind of agree with this, but he's like, you know, go to Cinema Wasteland because you're basically wasting your time at other conventions. And that's really the point that I'm getting to right now is I just think that, you know, Wasteland is so much better than any other convention out there that I've ever been to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That, you know, if you're remotely in the area, you know, we have guys like Mr. Monster and a lot of the people from the Rue Morgue board. They're coming down from Toronto.
And they think it's worth making the trip.
Every time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think they get excited about guests, but once they get there, it's not about the guests for them, I don't think. I think they're having a good time hanging out.
Yeah.
And I really recommend other people. I know it could be a long trip. And you know, man, I would love to go to Kentucky for some of these conventions they have down there. And I'm actually going to try to make one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked to Steve about it. And I'm going to try to actually make it to one of the conventions down in Kentucky. And I know it's hard to drive places and get a hotel and the whole nine yards. It's kind of a pain. But if you can and you can swing it, you got to come to Wasteland. You really do, because... You know, there's two kinds of people in the world. People that have never been to a Wasteland look at the guest list and go, I wouldn't go to a Wasteland. And the people that have gone to a Wasteland and look at the guest list and go, I don't care who's going to be there. I'm going to Wasteland.
Yep. Absolutely.
So, You know, and then and I'll talk. Let's talk a little bit about the next show. I mean, there's not, you know, if you look at the guest list, it's not really terribly thrilling at this point.
No,
Ken always ends up adding a couple of guests.
I have to say though, it is a little bit thrilling for me though. I'm a huge fan of Blood Sucking Freaks, yeah. And they're going to have Joel Reed, the director, there, which I think is pretty damn cool.
That would be cool. That's cool. And that's interesting. And there's a director of another movie that I think we might talk about later on that might be interesting to meet.
I forget the guy's name though.
These aren't people that are going to bring a ton of attention to the convention. I know, and I'm not going to say anything. I mean, it's not a secret, but I know Ken was throwing some names out there of people he's trying to get confirmed for the convention. So pay attention to cinemawasteland.com. Right now it's kind of bare. There's nothing out there, but you'll start to see some names show up, and hopefully he adds a couple more. I mean, he always manages to bring a couple people in that we all go, holy crap, that's awesome. And if the fellow that he's trying to get for October, he gets, it's going to be a holy crap, he's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling you right now, if he gets the guy that we've been bugging him about, it's going to unleash a hell of a lot more hell than just up in Harlem. I'll say that.
Well, and I know a lot of horror fans are going to be like, so what? Well, and that's, you know, I just want to make an observation. Cinema Wasteland has never claimed to be a horror convention.
Never.
It's a drive-in exploitation convention. Are there horror people? Yeah, there was a Chainsaw reunion, for crying out loud. But he also brings in Ted Mikkels. He brings in the cast from he brings in the baddies from Last House on the Left. He brings
Christina
in
Lindbergh.
Christina Lindbergh. He brings in Marilyn Chambers, God rest her soul, rest in peace. But people like that. So you got to understand, when you look at it, you go, whoa, where's my Phantasm guests? And how come Madman Mars hasn't been there? There's nobody to see. Well, dude, that's not this convention. I mean, There will be horror people there, but there will also be shows that cater to other people. There'll be shows that are Ilsa heavy. There'll be shows where it's Spider Baby. There will be shows, you know, you're not going to meet Jack Hill at a horror convention. You're not going to meet Diane Thorne at a horror convention. Mm-hmm. This is a drive-in exploitation convention, so you understand ahead of time what you're getting into.
Absolutely. And two, also understand the kind of show that you're dealing with. This is something I said I wanted to talk about earlier, and I wanted to make sure to bring this up. But in speaking with Ken on Saturday night, he mentioned a certain actor of a very popular series that his representation had called Ken to have him at the convention.
Well, I think the story was like, you know, so-and-so's interested. Kind of like, you know, hey, he's going to privilege you with attending your show.
Yeah. And Ken basically said, no, thank you. And they kept at it. And Ken basically told them, look, I've seen your client at a convention charging $30 a piece for an autograph. He has an iPod on the entire time, and he won't even look at the fans. Ken plain and simple told me he would throw somebody like that out of the hotel on their ass himself if they treated the fans of his convention that way. And believe me, Ken's not lying. If Ken cared, he could have had this person.
And let's be honest, the regulars would not give a shit about this person.
No, not at all. I wouldn't.
And the people that would show up to meet this person, the fans of this particular series, and you're gonna say his name, right?
Sure.
Yeah,
what the hell?
Well, but the fans of this particular series, we don't want him at Wasteland. Personally, when I say we, I'm speaking for myself. I don't want the little 20-year-old shit stains who think the Saw franchise is the end all and end of horror at my Wasteland, because they're gonna annoy the hell out of me. Even this last time around, a lot of the Chainsaw fans who aren't regular Wasteland people were bugging the hell out of me.
Uh-huh.
They were rude and they were in the way and they didn't understand what the hell they were there for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's just part of the deal, you know what I mean? If Ken doesn't want Jigsaw at his convention, then he's not gonna have him there. And you know, at the end of the day, it's Ken even said this. He's like, you know, best of luck to him. You know, let the other conventions do it. You know what I mean? And those could be the places that have them. Ken wants to do his own thing. Ken's trying to do different stuff. And I think that's pretty evident if you look at the history of the show, that Ken's either done something completely different that nobody else has done, or he's done something that everybody else followed the leader on, and he did it first.
And I don't think he gets enough credit for that. I mean, you know, people forget, like, well, there's all these Dawn reunions. Dude, the first show he did was a Dawn reunion.
Yep.
You know?
Absolutely.
And he did a Chainsaw reunion, and then everybody else picked up the Chainsaw stuff and ran with it. He's done all the Michael Myerses. I don't know that he was the first of that, but I will tell you he was the first to have all the Jasons at one show and bill it as the all the Jasons from the Friday the 13th show.
Mm-hmm.
He did that before anybody else did it.
Yep.
You know, you know, plus where else are you going to find a show where he's had Ted Mikkels as a guest a couple of times?
Mm-hmm.
It's about time he brings H.G. Lewis back, though. I hope he does that soon.
Yeah, I think H.G. Lewis would be a pretty appreciated guest. I've actually had a chance to meet him a few years back at the Pittsburgh Genghis Khan shows, and he's a great guest. He's really interesting to talk to. He's great with guests. He didn't even charge for autographs whenever I met him.
Well, last time David Friedman charged $5 for a picture off his table, and your stuff was free.
Yeah, I mean, you can't beat that. I mean, these are genuine. Like, trust me, Ken goes out to get people who want to be there. They're people that give a shit because he knows that his audience or his regulars will not accept anything less than that. That's the kind of show they expect from him, and that's the kind of show he expects from himself. Let's be honest here. I mean, Wasteland fans are pretty demanding, but the most demanding person that has to do anything with Wasteland's Ken.
Well, and let's not forget, Ken's the kind of guy that can look John Saxon in the eye and go, you know, there's a pretty good chance if you come to Wasteland, no one's going to ask you about Nightmare on Elm Street all weekend. And mm-hmm. It happens.
Yeah.
Where you know, Sunday, John Saxon sitting at his table and realizing, no one has asked me the stupid Nightmare on Elm Street questions. John Saxon did a Q&A, and everybody was asking him about working with Bava, about working on Black Christmas. It was a Black Christmas, wasn't he? Yeah.
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 Dude, my brain is shot. Total Swiss cheese, but you know, basically, we asked him all these stuff in the Q&A about getting the start, and no one asked him about Nightmare on Elm Street. Ken even said, "Did you get a Nightmare on Elm Street question?" And Saxon's like, "No, thank God, no. This was awesome." I mean,
dude,
even if he had to talk about like Cannibal Apocalypse, which he's not terribly fond of, and you know, Elm Street fans don't think that Saxon hates that franchise. He doesn't.
Yeah.
If you think about it, he goes to all these mainstream conventions.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like working with Robert Englund? What was it like working with Heather Langenkamp? What was it like working with Wes Craven? The guy's had an amazing career, and everyone wants to want to talk about the fucking Freddy movie.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's, you know, let me throw this analogy at you and see what you think about this to explain what Wasteland is. It's like, come to a Wasteland show and hang out with the adults. Because you know what? If you're going to another convention, you're just sitting at the fucking kiddie table.
I don't want to sound arrogant like that, but it's actually true. I feel that way because, I mean, I've even hung out places recently on the internet, and they'll remain nameless, like, but there's a message board that I was on for a while, and there were some good people there, but most of them, you know, you're like, hey, have you ever, what do you mean you've never seen this or you've never seen that? And you want to sit there and tell me why I should give this remake and that remake a chance, and if I don't, I'm kind of a douche.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, guess what? If you haven't seen the stuff that I've seen, you can't tell me. You don't know. I mean, and that's just my opinion, and that comes off sounding arrogant, but it's pretty much you roll into Wasteland, and you're hanging out with, like you say, the grown-ups. You're hanging out with people that have watched all this stuff that are very knowledgeable, and it doesn't mean age either because I've met some – dude, let's be honest. Anthropothecus is what, 19?
Yeah.
That guy has seen stuff that I haven't seen.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows his shit, no doubt. So it's not
absolutely
an age thing. It's not an age thing, but it's the crowd. It's what the crowd's into, and they've seen the old stuff. And a lot. And if you've seen the old stuff and you like the new stuff, I respect you. But if you want to tell me that I need to give all this new stuff a chance, not having had the same experience that I have and not been able to come from my point of view where I'm like, I've seen this stuff and it's crap compared to the old stuff, why would I bother? And then you want to tell me that's not right, you need to give it all a chance. Well, you haven't seen what I've seen. Piss off.
Yeah, it's you know, it's definitely an educated crowd.
Yeah.
I think that's evident in the guests. You know what I mean? Because he pulls in decent crowds from the guests that he pulls, and it's all aimed at a specific, you know, group of people. And it's the one convention that, you know, like when you look at these other conventions, and it's nothing against them. It's just a business model and it's how they function. But they try and get guests that are going to bring in the most people from everywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's fine. That's a fine business model. But at the same time, Ken's business model is almost better than anybody's because he knows his core audience. He knows how loyal they are. And he can continuously put on shows that those people want to see. And if he keeps doing that, the convention's never going to go away. It, to me, by far has the strongest fan base of any convention I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, and it's its own. Yeah, its loyalty is its own backbone. And I mean, we talked about this going into the convention about the recession and the economy possibly hurting the convention. But I'll tell you what, it really didn't seem like it did. People seem to be spent.
There were a lot of regulars who weren't there. There were a lot of familiar faces. Because I've been to every Wastelands except the first one. I missed the very first one. But I've been to all the rest of them since, and that's a lot of shows. And there's a lot of familiar faces that I have seen at every one of those shows, and this is the first time that some of them weren't there.
You know, I agree.
Know my name, but
I do agree with you. We did say that there was a large amount of regulars that weren't there, but overall, as a convention, it didn't seem like a dead show to me.
No.
They brought in a crowd. You know, they managed to bring in enough people to make it their usual crowd, I like to think. And, you know, it's going to be just another good show after another good show because they're making the money and they're able to do it based off their loyal fans. And that's great. You know, I'm glad to be part of those loyal fans.
Yeah. So, but I think we've talked enough about Sunday and in general. And I think what we're going to do, unless you have something else to add, I think what we're going to do is go ahead and take a quick break, come back. There's something we recorded in the room on Sunday, so I'll go ahead and put that in and let you guys listen to it. And we'll take a break after that, and then Ed and I are going to come back and talk just briefly about what's coming up for the show and what we got coming up for this is the regular April show.
Mm-hmm.
We have a bonus show that we're going to put up by the end of April, and we'll talk a little bit about that. So we'll be back right after this. Well, hold on. Did you have anything else?
No, nothing else.
Cool. We'll be back right after this on the Gut Munchers podcast.
Okay, move along there.
Black Mama, White Mama, two of the toughest chicks ever put behind bars. Fate tossed them together in the same prison, but their color kept them apart until they escaped, chained together at the wrists. Black Mama, White Mama, with nothing to go back to, nothing up front but trouble. Black Mama, White Mama. They endured every humiliation imaginable in a woman's prison, and now they were free, 1,000 miles from nowhere, bound together by chains, hate, and the erotic desires a woman gets after 1,000 nights without a man. See, Black Mama, White Mama, rated R, under 17, not admitted without a parent. Black Mama, White Mama, they were free, but not from each other.
Shit, it's Sunday morning. Last night was good, dude. Last night was good. Lots of partying. You had quite a few brewskis in you there, didn't you? Dave.
The highlight of the evening was hanging out with Donnie Steinman at the bar for a little while. my goal was just to make sure he knew that we appreciated his presence and his work and all such. Great.
I saw the pictures. It was you, Danny Steinman, staff member Scott, and Slipcase.
Yes. Slippy had some Baileys.
Slippy, have any good stories?
If he did, it escaped me. I don't think he did. We really didn't bug him.
What time did you get back to the room last night?
It was in the AM. That's all I knew.
Yeah, well, you... I know Ed got back at 5, and you came in after Ed, so you had a good time
really,
last night.
Really? Yeah, it was fucking 5? God.
Yeah. Dude, Ed was in the room and in bed at 5 o'clock, and you came in after Ed, so it was after 5, but...
That Excellently, dude.
I was at around 4.
Yeah, I was in here about 3, so I had a good night, too. So, I mean, we all had a fun last night. You guys sat in on, well, yeah, you sat next to me on the commentary. Friday the 13th, part 5, live commentary. Danny Steinman, Slipcation, and Art Edinger. And it was really, I think it was more Slippy and Art Edinger that did it. Danny Steinman didn't have a lot to say. I thought it was cool, though, because I don't think the dude really knows how much, like, we as fans appreciate his shit, his movies. I saw that. This is a weird weekend for me. How many movies did you watch?
One.
The Friday the 13th Part 5?
Yes.
And that was the only one you watched?
No, well, actually, two, if you count the Day of the Animals.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah. I got through half a Day of the Animals. I did get up Saturday and watch that Three Stooges feature that they were showing on 16 that Son of Ghoul had. Son of Ghoul.
Oh.
So that was cool. I did watch that, and then I watched Friday the 13th Part 5. But it's weird, dude. I like watch two movies, basically, which is odd for me. Normally I watch more than that, and I only watched one thing on film this weekend. But I had a good time. I think meeting Christina Lindbergh was awesome. Mm-hmm. Fucking Danny Steinman is cool. Did you guys sit in on a lot of the Q&As? Because Friday night there was a Christina Lindbergh Q&A, which was very cool. A little disappointing. Too many of the, I don't remember that movie. I don't remember that. It's like, well, okay, fine. But you're still kind of hot, and you signed shit for $10. So you cannot remember whatever the hell you don't want to remember. But dude, the chainsaw panel was good. But I think the highlight of the weekend for me was 42nd Street Pete's panel, which, yeah. Don't worry, guys, it's awesome because you get about to hear about 60% of what Pete was talking about on our upcoming show, which will be our exploitation show with Ed and I, and we have a 46th Street Pete interview, which I probably already mentioned, but it's Sunday. I don't drink, so I'm not hungover, but I'm just really fucking tired. So, but yeah, dude, that sounds pretty fucking cool. I mean,
does,
you know.
Pete do the two hooker stories in your interview?
No, you know, I did not know to ask Pete about the hooker stories.
You're going to have to do another interview now.
There's more about that snuff movie, though.
Yeah.
A bit more detailed than he did in a room full of people. So, but yeah, I mean, so I think it was a good weekend so far. It's really winding to a close. It was showering, packing up, and getting her shit together for checkout, which that's always kind of the depressing part of the weekend. But fucking last night, every time I open my eyes, I'm looking at goddamn Linda Blair's creepy ass face. Your Savage Streets poster, which fucking Friday night, I made you turn your face over the wall.
Well, you
Blair
did, yeah,
Witch style.
I thought you were going to fucking saw the logs. I'd fucking turn that son of a bitch around.
That's some mean shit right there, yo. But, yeah, I apologize. I snored real bad.
Well, I heard I snored. I know I snored, but...
I think the plan next time, if you decide to room with me, is just to get really liquored up on Friday, too.
Yeah,
and
I think
won't
that's
matter.
I think that's the plan, because it works.
Yeah, I mean, you come stumbling in, I could be...
I'm here!
I could be playing a banjo.
I'm fucking
Deliverance
light.
Style, man.
I'm rough light.
Yeah, I could be playing a banjo Deliverance style, and you'd be like, yeah, whatever, I don't care. But,
and they're about half asleep, and you just flop across my leg.
Yeah.
I can't believe it, dude, that was
him. He's trying to send you a message, man. You kicked him out of bed. I cannot believe after all the shit you said about how hot he was in a Ben Grimm kind of way, in a Michael Chiklis kind of way.
That Ben Grimm shit's going to get somebody killed.
Why, dude? That's Michael Chiklis.
Michael Chiklis
is cool.
Chiklis. That's just like me.
Oh. Oh, dude, that's fucking harsh. I didn't realize that shit.
Chiklis.
That's not cool. That's not cool.
I got Ass Monster for free, so there you go.
I got an Ass Monster too, baby.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fuck. I didn't know it was giving away just to everybody.
Oh. No, I'm not talking about a movie. I just got an ass monster. Yeah. You know, this is not a visual medium, Scott, so the funny faces aren't going to do shit for our audience. There's a reason I've never let you on the podcast. You make funny faces and think the audience is going to laugh. They can't see you, Scott. They can't see you. So,
I shrugged too.
Yeah, he shrugged too. So, I mean, really, what the hell? So, I'll be probably since it's Sunday, I'm going to be pissing off a lot of fucking hungover people by sticking this microphone in their face and be like, hey, did you have a good weekend? They'll be like, man, get out of my face before I fucking kill you. But
Ken's down there.
Ken?
Ken is down there in front of the
oh, yeah.
room.
Ken probably didn't sleep last night. Ken's the promoter.
He got like his hair slicked back wet. I've never seen him like look like
yeah,
him.
So.
I got groped a few times at the party. One of them was a chick.
Hey-o.
You say I got groped a few... Catch that. I got groped a few times at the party. One of them was a chick.
I got a kiss on the cheek from the dreadlocks girl. I thought it was hot.
So.
You didn't get a kiss. You got a lick.
Yeah, I saw the picture,
well, that's
dude.
Even better than a kiss.
I saw that shit. You got licked, dude.
That's cool. That's better than a kiss.
So. But, I'll be back. Probably stick the mic in a few other people's faces. I know I'm going to talk to Ed. Yeah. I'm going to try to find Timmy before we leave.
Yep. Good luck with that.
Oh, Timmy's always down there. Quiet, oh, yeah. Subdued Timmy. Come on. So, I'm going to see what I can find. Bye.
Well, there's actually this is going to be a longer show than I thought it was going to be. We're back, by the way. So that was the Cinema Wasteland. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope you enjoyed us talking about it. I know that Ed and I had a good time, and I know that Scott and Steve had a good time. And hopefully you guys have a good time listening to it, and maybe it'll encourage some of you guys to show up and hang out with us at the next Wasteland.
Oh, yeah.
So, but again, that was it for the Wasteland show, and I just want to talk about a couple of things going on at the site. I had mentioned earlier that there'll be a I'm adding yet another section to the website because I don't do enough work as it is already. It'll be the Independent Filmmaker Spotlight. I'm going to link some of the independent companies and organize the companies and the movies from those directors and companies. I also have already with the director of one of the segments and the person also assembled the whole Horror Vault collection. I think it's Kim Sonderheim. I can never say his last name. It's not really difficult to pronounce. It's just I'm an idiot and don't prepare and write stuff down. I already have a nice written review with him or interview with him, as well as a review of his movie. I'm going to be reviewing Deadlands 2, which is pretty cool. And Gary, the director of that. I've already done a written interview with him, and that'll be up on the site probably when I launch the new page. I'm pretty sure at this point that I'm going to have a written interview with Kevin Strange from Hack Movies. So I'm really trying to push the independent filmmaker. So that's the new section. Look forward to that in the next week or two to go live. I'm working on building the infrastructure behind that. And hopefully people dig it because I want to make sure that we always wanted to really support the independent filmmaker at Gutmunchers. We got the podcast, which you're listening to, so obviously I hope you know about it. Weekly webcomic, daily movie reviews. We've launched a YouTube channel. You can see all kinds of goofy mugs of Jason and myself all over the place as we ape it up for the camera a little bit. So we got a lot going on. So I just wanted to plug that on the site a little bit. Speaking of the podcast, Ed...
Yes.
You're joining me in a couple of weeks for the April bonus show. And I've kind of hinted around and mentioned things, but the April bonus show I'm excited about. We're going to review a couple of exploitation movies, or at least 42nd Street kind of movies, or at least something maybe 42nd Street Pete might have seen going down 42nd Street kind of movies. And that would be, I'll let you talk, announce your choice.
Okay, the movie I chose for this is something that me and John both picked up at Cinema Wasteland from Pete's Table.
42nd Street Pete's Table, yes.
Yeah, so we're going to throw this out there. We're passing the savings on to you in this 42nd Street Pete extravaganza of a show. But the movie I picked is Criminally Insane, a.k.a. Crazy Fat Ethel.
And I've already watched the movie, as have you, and I'm not going to give too much away for the review, but I will verify she is in fact crazy. She is in fact fat, and her name is Ethel.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So the one that delivers Crazy Fat Ethel.
Absolutely.
I went a little bit different. Of course, being gut munchers, I decided, with Ed's help a little bit, actually, because I was meandering. My brain was non-functional. But we're going to do a little bit of Zombie Holocaust, a.k.a.
Dr. Butcher, M.D.
Yes. So, got a couple of odd little movies. But, why do I keep talking about 42nd Street? Oh, I remember. We talked about how great his panel was. Like a couple of weeks or a month before I saw his panel, I actually conducted, Jason and I conducted a really, really cool interview with 42nd Street Pete. So we're going to have Crazy Fat Ethel.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Zombie Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have reviews of those two movies.
Mm-hmm.
Jason and I have a sit-down with 42nd Street Pete that is just great. I had a blast doing it.
It's like bringing the Grindhouse panel at Wasteland to the listeners.
Yes. And if that weren't enough, my good buddy, my man, Steve Benningfield,
Sensei,
is coming back for another installment of Sensei Cinema.
Very good.
We got the segment with Steve, with some Asian goodness.
Mm-hmm.
We got a couple of exploitation classics.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, one of them including a crazy fat lady and a doctor that's going around the bend. And we got 42nd Street Pete.
Can't lose with that.
That's a show, buddy.
It is.
A show. So, I hope you guys look forward to that, and that'll be at the end of April. I hope you enjoyed this show. Thank you for listening. Check us out at gutmunchers.com.
Mm-hmm.
Check us out on YouTube. Don't forget to check out Ed's stuff at bloodtypeonline.com.
With a newly launched YouTube channel as well.
Launched YouTube channel. What else we got? Oh, Steve, my good man Steve, which you heard on some of our segments here. He hasn't done an episode of Euro Cult lately. Steve, get up off your butt, because I actually enjoy listening to it. So get another one in a can. But Steve's got Euro Cult,
mm-hmm.
And so there's that. And you know what? Let's just plug everybody. Let's plug the hell out of everybody. So if I miss somebody, you make sure I don't forget. But
okay.
Don't forget to check out Timmy Gross at bastardsofhorror.com. Movie reviews. They're awesome,
mm-hmm.
and they're gross. Deadpit.com, Uncle Bill and CK. CK does some killer YouTube videos as well.
Bunch
of dudes. There's just so many people on YouTube that I'm having such a blast watching. Mad Puppet Death, Flyers Fan, a.k.a. That's J-Dog, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Slasher Club, man.
Rick Absolutely.
Rick and Runk have got some stuff going on over there, Slasher Club, and their YouTube channel,
slasherclub.com. Throw out a recommendation. Check out Marilyn, the video that Russ did about Marilyn Burns. It's actually, Marilyn Chambers.
Yeah, Marilyn Chambers. Yeah, Russ did a wonderful job on that. So if you're listening, Russ, loved it. Good job. Great stuff.
Good job.
And everybody should go check that out, and that's available at slasherclub.com. Or mm-hmm. you can go to if you do a search for Slasher Club on YouTube, you'll find them. I know I'm missing people, and if I miss you, can't forget my man, Gore Boy Radio, Knock Monster. I almost went an entire episode, and even though, like, Gore Boy Radio and Brother D over at Mail Order Zombie, they have, you've heard commercials as the show's gone on that I'm running for them. Those two guys are actually really cool. MailOrderZombie.com is a podcast I listen to. Gore Boy Radio is a podcast I listen to. Check those out. They're awesome.
And I will actually be appearing on Gore Boy Radio in the near future, too, with something pretty cool I think people are going to like.
Oh, and Andy from Destroy the Brain.
Obviously, yes. I'm co-host of the 42nd Minute over at DestroyTheBrainOnline.com. Definitely check out that show.
And that's the thing with us, man. There's no ego at GutMunchers.com. If I mention somebody, it's because I actually dig what they're doing and I'm paying attention to them. I won't plug people for the sake of plugging them. But
mm-hmm.
So when you hear me talk about, hey, check out Andy, check out Gore Boy, check out Brother D, check out the guys at Slasher Club, check out Deadpan, it's because these guys are cool. And I'm paying attention to them, and I'm watching. It's the places that it's the people I listen to and that entertain the hell out of me. So really do check all these guys out. So.
And you know what? Let me just throw this out there, too, because I feel this way about all of us, to be honest with you. This is an actual community of people that review films. without bias. You know, there's no major film companies behind these websites and these people that are making us say good things about their movie. You're not going to get that. These are, you know, this is a community of film critics, basically, that are going to shoot straight from the hip. And I mean, even if you don't always agree with what they say, at least you know what they're saying is the truth. So definitely keep that in mind when you're checking out horror sites out there, because a lot of them lie to you.
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, I won't put up with any crap. I think somebody's got a bias because they're worried about losing a company. That shows up. They're not. That's not cool at all. But yeah, I mean, again, and let's go back to what's really important. Check out GutMunchers.com.
But, and BloodTypeOnline.com.
Yeah. Well, and GutMunchers.com. And then you can go to Blood Type. But go to GutMunchers first, because...
Yeah, you could even go to GutMunchers first, look on the links page, and click on Blood Type that way if it makes
you
happy.
That's true. That makes it
easier. Or vice versa.
Let's type it.
Yeah, we're trying to make everything easier. And the same thing could be said for the YouTube channels. If you guys want to check out all these different YouTube channels, if you go on the GutMunchers one, just look through subscriptions and friends. They're all on there.
Yeah, and that's a good point. The people that I really pay attention to, they're all on my subscription list. I subscribe to all their videos and Blood Types on there, Mad Puppet Death, and a lot of the people. So, yeah, do check them out. But, God, dude, this got really, really gay with all, like, the love and everything. I hate that.
Yeah, but it's horrors.
I need to be a dick. It's like... I hate everybody.
Okay, fuck Code Red, because they suck.
Code Red's gay.
Yeah, they're gay as hell.
Yeah, there's like, I hear the, oh, Code Red got a hold of this title. I'm like, where's the fuck is Nightmares and a Damaged Brain?
It's coming out bare bones, apparently.
Oh, I'm so excited they're putting this out. Dude, they have put the last three titles they've announced they haven't put out yet. So I'm waiting on them, and then I'll get excited about this one, but that's just me.
Yeah, and that's not hating on their movies either. They do put on some good movies.
When they actually, you know, say what you want about Grindhouse releasing, when they actually put shit out, Code Red, when they actually put things out, yeah, they're pretty cool. But quit bitching and moaning and berating the horror fans and using us as an excuse for not coming through with what you said you were going for. But anyway, we're off the track. But I think that's a good show. I think we've done a good job. So
I think so too.
Anything else?
No, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I always like doing the show, and I hope you guys out there listening enjoy me when I'm on the show, and hope I could bring something cool to the podcast.
Yeah, well, you do. Otherwise, I wouldn't have you on.
Thank you.
I kicked you to the curb a long time ago if you weren't bringing me anything.
And I bring the ruckus, so.
You bring the ruckus. Yes, you do. But and as my good friend and regular co-host says at the end of every one of his YouTube videos, Jesus loves you. I think you suck, and I friggin' hate you, but Jesus loves you. So, I mean, if that's what you're all about, okay, it's good. And for those wondering, Jason will return. Don't worry about it. He's coming back.
Mm-hmm.
It's just he had to get settled in Japan, and if you've checking out his YouTube videos, you can tell he's pretty excited. And we have some stuff planned, so Jason and I have some stuff planned, and he is coming back. I've had a couple people say, is Jason ever coming back? And I'm like, yeah, he is. Don't worry about it. So, but he'll be back. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks, Ed, to
absolutely
talk some exploitation. And at that point, probably at the end of that show, maybe I'll give you guys an idea what we're going to do. Probably be Jason and I doing something in May for his return to the Gut Munchers podcast. So thanks for listening. Thanks for wasting a couple hours of your time, or what's probably closer to 2.5 hours. and again, check out everybody we mentioned. Check out our site. Check out Ed's site. Check out everybody's sites. They're all free, so it ain't costing anything. And
that's it.
I guess that's it. So this has been episode 5 of the Gut Munchers podcast, our Cinema Wasteland recap. Thanks, Ed. I appreciate you stopping by.
Thank you, and I'd like to say rest in peace to Lou Perryman and Marilyn Chambers.
And Marilyn Chambers, yep. Yep. So, all right. We'll catch you later. See you guys. Bye.